Hi everyone, Oscar here with Shitty Audio to tell you something that came up way last minute, and that is Luke's contribution to our top five show today. So he does put in a lot of time and effort to come up with his top five best films of the year so far. So I've spliced them in after Roth and I are due with each number as we count down. And then at the very end of our top five most anticipated films, I put in his entire segment, which is about a few minutes, and he just rattles them off and he gives a brief explanation of why. And I decided to put it in there because A, he put the time in, and B, he's cooped up there in Alaska, guys, and he's still part of the show, and he very much wanted to, let you guys know, let us all know his opinions on his top five. And as I knew, they would be either different or slightly different or a lot different, whatever. So in the main show, we probably, say around we think that he's not gonna do it because we weren't sure at the time. So this is to eliminate all confusion. Anyway, let's get on with the show, guys.
It's okay. It's okay. He won't hurt us. He would have killed me by now. Okay? I think it's because we're not actually part of the movie. He doesn't really know what to do with us.
Welcome to another movie podcast, a show that rallies the best of the best that films have to offer for a great ranking, but then forgets their merits come the end of the year,
sure,
as we usually do. I'm Oscar. With me today is
Ralph.
Just Ralph, of course.
Yeah,
Luke is still
Ralph.
in Istanbul,
right?
Shepherding the donkeys.
Yes.
Can you imagine that? I can't. No, I can't. It's done. I've imagined it. This is episode number 27, and it's a special episode. It is, now we're past the halfway point of the year, which means we start doing our top five shows, or at least this top five show before the top 10 later on this year. We're doing our top five best films of 2017 so far. Our middle thing, we are going to do a movie review, a full-length movie review of, Edgar Wright's latest movie, Baby Driver. And then we'll conclude our show with another top five of our five most anticipated films of 2017, meaning like from this point forth.
Right.
Feedback can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Podmoviecast is our Twitter handle as well, and you can follow all of the things we have on our website, otherpodcast.com, for all information. And obviously, every podcast has a show notes for all this shit all the time. Now let's talk about, as we usually do, what we've been watching lately, separately, independently of ourselves. Ralph, you're going to start us off today. You have three things for us, so why don't you get started? What's your first?
Sure. My first is Beauty and the Beast, the new one that
was
just
it
came out.
Beauty and or Beastie?
No, yeah, it was the adaptation, right? Directed by Bill Condon.
Yeah, he did Gods and Monsters.
I want to say so. I can look.
I want to say, and he also did that weird movie about the dude.
He did Dreamgirls, Gods and Monsters. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Kinsey.
Yeah.
Starring Emma Watson, Dan Stevens, Luke Evans, Josh Gad, Kevin Klein.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Kevin Klein as the father.
Exactly.
I've seen this too.
I actually really liked this movie.
I
thought it was a really good adaptation, adaptation from the animated one. I haven't seen the animated movie in longest time, but a lot of it, some of it felt different, different things that they went through. But other than that, it felt really cool. What's it called? All that craziness. The animation is obviously top notch. It depends heavily on Emma Watson, performance completely, almost. For me, anyways. And it overall played well for me. I actually enjoyed it. I watched it with my wife because I watched it with my wife because she wanted to watch a movie. And I was like, I guess we can watch Beauty and the Beast.
I guess.
Well, it was, yeah, she didn't want to watch a horror movie. So, other than that.
Plenty of other choices, Bob.
It was fun. It was fun. I had fun watching it. The music seemed good to me. Everything felt great. I don't know. It was like reliving it. Yeah. It was kind of actually a really good transition to what's it called? Live action.
Live action.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the term. Live action compared to Cinderella. I'm comparing it a lot heavily to Cinderella because I thought Cinderella bombed.
That's so funny you say that.
But yeah. This one I enjoyed.
I had the opposite reaction because I think the changes in Cinderella, like focusing more on her stepmother, I love that stuff. And I think Beauty and the Beast, for me anyway, it was too much exactly like the original movie, which offered nothing to me. and I didn't care because it was exactly the same. And if you've seen the original, I know you haven't seen it recently, but if you do watch it, I mean, I don't know if it'll put you off, but for me it did because it's just so similar.
Well, I don't remember the whole Enchantress. Well, the song should, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Enchantress, for example, or the witch or whatever that cursed them, right? The only problem I had with the movie, and I told you, is ended up being just there's a weird time lapse thing that happens. You don't know how much time has been. It could be in a matter of a week.
Oh, from kidnap to mob.
Kidnap to mob, exactly. Yeah. And you don't realize like it feels like it's been months because they're like getting to know each other. But at the same time, from the kidnap to mob, it felt like it was like 3 days at best.
Yeah,
like it just felt really really weird.
And this is the age for Dan Stevens, who plays the Beast.
Yeah.
He's in Legion this year. He's in he was made famous from that British show. The Prim and Proper one set in the 1700s or whatever. It's super famous. What's the name? You want to talk about?
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This year is also in a movie called Colossal.
Oh, okay.
He's in everything, anyway. He's always different though. He's always completely different. I like his accent work. Anyway, Beauty and the Beast, nice. What else you got?
Oh, I'm doing the whole thing. I completely forgot.
Yeah, Idiocracy.
I'm pulling it up. I'm just grabbing my IMDb because my phone's not loading. Yeah, I saw Idiocracy, which is a Mike Judge film.
Yeah, Michael Judgerson.
It's a 2006 movie, sorry for the thing. It's. I'll read the quick synopsis. Private Joe Bowers, the definition of an average American, is selected to the Pentagon by the Pentagon to be a guinea pig for a top secret hibernation program. Forgotten, he awakes 5 centuries in the future. He discovers a society so incredibly dumbed down that he is easily the most intelligent person alive. It also stars Luke Wilson as Joe Bowers, Maya Rudolph, who is Rita in the movie, who is also the most average woman out there, who is actually a prostitute, as that's her job. And when 2006 or 2005, whenever the movie was, right, and then 500 years later, she's actually still plays a prostitute. But yeah, Dax Shepard, Terry Crews as the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. Yeah, other than that, I mean, everybody else is nobody too big that you would know. Yeah, but Mike Judge, it's actually a really cool movie. It's really funny. A lot of, like, they bring in what's Darwinism.
Like a lot of like, social commentary.
Yeah, a lot of social commentary on whatever, right. On how life is right now also. Yeah, and, yeah. Like, where it could go, like, the really far, whatever, right? And it's interesting where it's, what is it? They go into the future and they wake up, shit happens, right? But they have this explanation in the beginning of the movie where it's how society is getting dumbed down because there's no more Darwinism, right? We don't have compared to like, you know, animals and shit that exist because, you know, only the top live, right? There's no, and some middle, but the bottom don't live, right? They die. They just can't sustain. And this is the opposite. We help so much the bottom people. They have more kids than the smarter people, so we're dumbing down the IQ pool. So and they give a perfect example with like two really smart people. They wait to have a kid, and while these two, you know, dumber people already have 3 kids, you know, and then when they decide to have a kid, they can't have a kid anymore because they were goal oriented or career oriented, right? Mm-hmm. And then they never have a kid, and then the father dies, or the husband dies, and the wife's just a widow, and they never had kids, and they never passed their IQs or they never passed their genes or anything, right? And so the gene pool,
or at least their practices,
right, or their practices or anything like that. In comparison to these guys, they ended up having like 6 kids, right? Because the guy cheated on, and everybody had a bunch of different babies from other people, and then those kids had like 7 kids each. So like, there goes into this crazy chain of like all these people who are just not as smart, right? Who are the bottom of the totem pole, end up become just middling out everything and becoming, you know, there's no more smart people in the world because they're too career focused and not, you know, focused for that. Mm-hmm. So it's too late. And then there's a world 500 years later where shit just works automated. You know, it's so, a lot of it's so automated, people just don't need to do anything.
Very Wall-E.
Very Wall-E as well. And it's really cool. He has to fix their problems. Like, there's a dust crop. There's a dust, what's it called? Dust storms everywhere because there's no water. They use Gatorade to water everything. Like, they think water is for toilets only. Like, that's all it's went for. Like, it's stupid shit like that because Gatorade-like company or a Powerade-like company controls the water supply or whatever. Like, shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, you should drink it because it has electrolytes and it's better for you than water. You know, like, that's where it's gotten to. And it's a really fun movie. You should watch it. I think you'd like it a lot, Idiocracy. So, yeah, that was a good movie.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yep. Other than that, I saw the original Friday the 13th movie. That I've never actually seen before. So I've never seen the original with Jason's mom.
With Jason's mom as the killer?
With Jason's mom as the killer, yes. Yeah. It came out in 1980.
So we've been playing that game, huh?
Right, because we've been playing the shit out of that game, yeah.
No.
Guys, it's about Camp Crystal Lake. They're trying to they're trying to bring it back after a couple years that's...
Camp Crystal Lake is code for meth, though.
Right.
It's exactly. Not an actual camp.
Right. Or a lake.
And there's no lake.
There's just meth.
Right. Just meth.
Right. And titties.
A lot of meth.
Because they can't, yeah.
Right, a lot of camp counselor titties.
Exactly. Yeah. Other than that, the kills are interesting. You could tell it's a super low budget movie. Or not super low budget, but it's a low budget.
Yeah, they made it for like a few $100,000, and they made the equivalent
$700,000. They made it because there's a little tip in the.
That's where I read it too.
Exactly, and then it made $60 million, I think.
Yeah, which back then it's like that's bonkers. Avatar money back
right,
then.
That's bonkers.
That's more,
yeah.
Probably.
Why do you think they made 300 other movies? Right.
Yeah, there's 11 or 12 Jason movies.
Something stupid.
No joke.
And it's really cool. Yeah, it was cool what they did, like the way, and they did set up for stories. Jason is mentioned like 3 times in the movie. Go figure. Like he's really not mentioned at
right,
all.
It's just about the mother's
and
revenge.
And you don't see the mother until the very end of the movie. Actually, they keep her hidden the whole time, which is really cool. I liked it overall. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a cool ride to watch, and I can see why people were like, "Oh man, I totally watch a part two." And part two I saw also, but I've seen it before. But I was just like, it was okay, you know, with the original.
I haven't
Bag
seen
Man
them in
JC.
Forever, barely remember any of
sure,
those.
Sure, sure, sure.
I
yeah.
do want to see them again.
Yeah,
though.
That's I started watching it because I've been playing the game, the Friday the 13th game, and which is really fun. And it's the set pieces look very alike.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
well,
they
sure.
did a really good job.
They're
going to
do something,
right?
Yeah.
So it's really cool. But yeah, overall, like,
waiting for the Jason X map.
Some really cool deaths.
Yeah.
Awesome titties everywhere. So, great 80s.
Yeah, very 80s.
Yep.
I think, was it 80s? It might have been actually 70s. Was it?
No, it was 1980. It came out.
80, wow. 80, 80 period.
80 period.
Oh, wow. herald the new year, the new decade.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All
right,
cool.
Yeah.
So, those are your three
films. What have you been watching?
Well, I've seen an equally really horrible...
Bad movies.
I finished the Resident Evil franchise.
Oof, how'd that go? Well, you were saying you had fun, though, watching it.
Resident Evil, the final chapter. Well, yeah, I have fun with Jason movies, but I can't defend them.
Right.
So here it goes. It's a terrible movie, but it's like the best of the worst franchises out there. It beats all the Transformers, because those are almost nearly unwatchable, if not totally unwatchable. Like, at least the Resident Evil movies, they know how cheesy they are.
Right,
and
but at the same time...
They spend the money, I think, in the right areas, too.
Well, they have to get crafty with the money, because they actually have a budget in comparison to, like, Michael Page is going, like, what, I can spend $300 million, right, guys?
On this one frame.
Right.
Right. Whatever they do, I think they do it really well. Mila Jovovich has always heralded the series, even though she is the most implausible character from the games.
Right.
Like, such a minute character that just made her into the main star because they realized probably, hey, Jill Valentine and Chris Redfield, they're just humans. They can't really fight this power. We need someone with real power. Let's see Alice. Let's talk about Alice. And throughout the series, they've stripped down her powers. They've hyped them up. They brought it out. They brought it back. And this one, she just has like really cool abilities, but doesn't like abilities as a human to martial arts and be crafty and shit. But she's not like the Alice with all the insane powers.
I got you.
I don't know if you kept up with the series, Ross.
No,
but
I have. I'm like
I've
two
seen them
movies
all.
Behind.
I've seen them all, my friend. The last one I really liked, or might have been the one before that, where they play a live action, like a role playing, like a LARPing thing, but with real zombies. They make up fake Tokyos and fake cities and fake raccoon cities, and they make they put victims in it, and then they have scenarios where they fight to see how well they fight. So it seems like a video game within a movie.
That's pretty cool.
And those are really cool. And again, this money's spent right in the right ways, you know. And there's plenty of zombies, hordes still, surprisingly. And, like, how are they still alive after all these years? But they are. And believe it or not, Resident Evil, the final chapter, has to do with an antivirus that supposedly will actually stop the spread. No, that would be more ridiculous. Yeah. No, but it will stop the spread completely, which is impossible. And the way it ends, I feel like it's okay to spoil it, but... also, I mean, doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah,
I mean, I know you don't care. No one cares. So this is how she does it. You obviously know she succeeds. She kills Wesker. She kills whatever. You find out her origin of Alice, where she came from, which is cool. It was fine. She has the serum, and she drops it in open air in front of tons of zombies coming to kill her. And they all just drop down. Like, that's how fast it spread.
Oh, wow.
It's impossible. It was ridiculous, but it was funny.
Right.
And I loved it. And I love all these movies.
Okay.
And they have fun martial arts. Not the best martial arts again, but it's not the worst either.
Right.
And I just like it. It's just dumb looking. I mean, I gave it 1.5 stars. So. And the half was because the graphics were really cooler than I thought they'd be. So that's Resident Evil, the final chapter. Our last film here, my last film of what we've been watching, I should say, is called Colossal.
Oh, didn't you just say something about this movie where somebody stars in it?
Dan Stevens.
Right.
Doesn't star in it. He's a bit player. But it mainly stars Anne Hathaway.
Cool.
Yeah, you remember her, right?
Yeah, she got naked and won that one movie and didn't win an Oscar.
And did not win. I'm going to read the description here. Gloria is an out-of-work party girl forced to leave her life in New York City and move back home. When reports surface that a giant creature is destroying Seoul, South Korea, she gradually comes to the realization that she is somehow connected to this phenomenon. That is the plot description. Even reading that, I feel it's so... Because it's one of those movies that it's hard to see the trailer because you don't, you know, even if you go to the movies a lot and you go to indie movies, it's gonna be hard to find one.
Oh, okay.
And so I feel like it's hard to be spoiled for this movie. So I think if you go in fresh, even though having me just reading that description, I think it's still vague enough. But I went in there knowing nothing, and it's written and directed by Nacho Vigalondo, who did Time Crimes.
Nacho.
And like I said, it stars Anne Hathaway, Jason Sudeikis, as a completely different role than you've ever seen him.
Really? Like,
yes.
More serious?
Way serious. He's the evil person.
Oh, really? But, like, serious as in, like, he never even laughs once?
Oh, no. He makes jokes, but they're, like, the most asshole jokes that you can't laugh with him.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So he still has that
touch. That's interesting.
He has a piece.
Right, because sadly to say about him, I just think he fits one role.
That's what I liked him about this movie, is that he is actually different.
That's good.
And also Tim Blake Nelson plays also a very different kind of role, but he plays different kind of roles all the time. So Colossal, I just want to say, without spoiling again, it's a strange movie.
Yeah.
As you heard by the description. And it does make sense, and the way it's constructed and the way it's about, like, it's about jealousy. It's about insecurities. It's about never achieving something in life. And you think that with this weird sci-fi phenomenon-type movie plotline, but it gets there. It's about something. It's about the making of this evil man and how this party girl must grow up in a way. Huh. And it's really cool how it develops.
Interesting.
I recommend it super highly.
Is it on VOD?
It is now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Interesting,
then. So that's Colossal.
Might be my next rental.
Yeah, it should be. Anyway, that's it for what we've been watching.
Captain Dale, is everything okay?
I am afraid Captain Dale had to bail. I'm your new co-pilot, and I always come to work with a smile.
You should be terrified.
Why?
Because...
I will be taking over the city.
What?
Batman will stop you? He always stops you.
No, he doesn't.
Well, tonight is going to be different. Your city is under attack by Gotham's greatest criminal minds, including the Riddler, Scarecrow,
Pizza Delivery,
Bane.
Hello.
Two-Face!
We need that door open, baby.
Catwoman!
Meow, meow, you're in! Meow, meow.
Penguin. Crazy Quilt. Eraser. Polka Dot Man. Mime. Tarantula. King Cut. Orca. Killer Moth.
Mortarian.
Zodiac Master.
Gentleman Ghost.
Clock King.
Calendar Man.
Kite Man.
Cat Man.
Zebra Man.
And the Condiment King!
Okay, are you making some of those up?
Nope, they're all real. Probably worth the Google.
Our top five best films of the year. So far.
Oh, so okay.
You have to say this so far, right. Otherwise people will think you're serious. Who would think that, really? Who's here? Who's listening? I never said who's going to go first. I'll do it. Okay, you go first, and I'll go first and then lastness.
Mine's is a movie directed by James Mangold.
You're number five.
Number five, yes.
Oh, by the way, we didn't tell each other the list.
Right.
In advance, so this is a surprise, but right. I already know the movie you're going to say.
Right, it's Logan. Right.
Right, Logan.
Yeah, Logan. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really cool movie. I love the action. I love the ending. I know it was a little hokey for you, but Yeah, it was cool. I mean,
you mean for Luke? I loved it.
For Luke, I'm sorry. For Luke, yeah. I really fucking liked this movie a lot. Like, and I struggled actually. It barely made my top five. My number five, should I say?
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I mean, it was a really fun movie, and it was one of those movies where it's a superhero movie. Doesn't feel like a superhero movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's no actual villain, you know? There is, but there isn't. There's no boss fight. And that's the thing that I've actually been, like, loving, that, like, those movies, like, or superhero movies are doing now. There's no boss fight. I feel like I hate that, and, like...
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so, other than that, really, I really liked it, man. It was a really fun ride. We talked about it in an earlier podcast, so I don't want to explain more than I need to, so... That's my number five.
My number five is Logan, too.
Oh,
so funny enough. James Mangold, it's funny because that guy's done 3 Sons of Yuma. He's done Copland. He did the Wolverine.
I never saw 3 Sons of Yuma.
Which is the best. It's really good.
I like the Wolverine a lot.
The Wolverine, it was my favorite Wolverine movie until he made Logan. And I said it, I think, did we review Logan? We did, right?
Yeah, we reviewed Logan and the Wolverine, actually.
Yeah, but that's on the show. So, Logan, I'm pretty sure I said it in the review, but... I said it at the time, it might be the best superhero movie there is. Probably close to or second to Watchmen and Dark Knight. Might be the only other competition, and probably do win.
You mean Dark Knight?
Dark Knight. Kids, ask your parents. Logan might, it's, I don't think anything's gonna beat it this year. I mean, I'm gonna love Spider-Man Homecoming too, and I really like watching Guardians of the Galaxy. I just don't know how much more transcendence.
I'm definitely gonna rewatch
that Logan
movie
was
again.
Very watchable, very Star Wars, sure. Yeah, right. But it's also like, it's, I think, superheroes is not the genre we should be focusing on. It should be following a different format. What can it be? A Western also? What can it also be?
Right.
A revenge story. Like, that's the whole point. Like, of having...
That's the whole point of a superhero movie. It's a different genre for anything.
That's why there's different superheroes, right. Period.
And I get I guess certain things are, like, certain formulas, right?
Right.
But that's, like, your main stuff, you know? Like,
right, which is why they'll never crack a top five like this. But
right,
Logan
exactly.
does.
But Logan does, yeah.
Yeah, and I really love it. I haven't seen it again since, but I did. I do have it.
I will rewatch it before the year ends.
For sure, me too.
I just have to. There's no way.
I'm hoping to see if it'll stay on this list.
All right, fair disclaimer. My top five movie picks aren't the greatest. I've only seen about, I think, 19 movies so far this year, mainly due to not being anywhere near a movie theater for long periods of time. I mean, hey, currently I'm sitting in Alaska recording this, so it's rough. I'm trying to get these movies. However, my first movie, or my number five, is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, the sequel to, obviously, I think 2014's Guardians of the Galaxy. This movie pretty much took everything great about the first movie, brought it into the second, and made it bigger, better, more beautiful, fuller. I felt that the soundtrack to this one was much better than the first, or actually up to par, because I saw the soundtrack for this one before the movie came out, and I wasn't sure what to think of it. And then when I actually saw the music, or heard the music in the movie, corresponding to the scene, I felt that they really chose some really great tracks. And even though I didn't like the songs before when I first heard them without the movie, I feel now that I can listen to a song, and it's just going to bring back those memories of what was going on in that scene. So the soundtrack was definitely a big part of this movie that I felt that was amazing, and they didn't skip anything. And then we had cool things like characters like Yondu, which we knew about in the first movie. We kind of get a more of a backstory on him and what his deal is. And it turns out he's one of like the better characters towards the end of the movie, especially with things like his whole Mary Poppins skit, which is pretty much blown up all over the internet. Then you also have Mantis, which is a new character that was brought into this movie. And while I've never known anything about her, I felt she was kind of a really cool character, even though she was really downplayed and kind of seems not stupid, but, you know, very ignorant to anything of the outside world that she's not exposed to. And obviously, you know, we have Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, and then we have Zoe, whatever her name is, as Gamora. And then, you know, we have kind of a more build-up onto the relationship, which, we know, we all knew something was there in the first movie. And, you know, we're going to probably see where this goes into the third movie. And Rocket Raccoon is Rocket Raccoon with this, you know, still weird sense of humor. And, you know, Drax is also kind of, I don't know, he seems a bit more smarter this movie. I think the first movie made him seem really, I don't know, like dumb, but I think he's picking up more human things the more he's exposed to other people. And lastly, we have Baby Groot, who is pretty much always our favorite because he is adorable. And some of the stuff he does is pretty much awesome. And some of the best scenes of the movie, especially like the very beginning where he's just dancing around while there's this huge epic space fight against some crazy demon. So, I mean, all in all, this is going to be my number five pick for my top five films for half of the year of 2017.
All right, my number four is a lot more lighthearted, and I really had fun with this movie, and that's the Lego Batman movie.
Jesus Christ, Roth.
What?
It's my number four.
Why are you copying my list?
Wait, block the other ones.
Well, I can't block the rest because mine are all in different orders.
See, look at that.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote that today.
Okay, man. Jesus. I don't know what you're saying to say to you, dude.
Where's Luke? He's going to pick the weird movies no one likes.
Okay, Lego Batman movie directed by Chris McKay, starring Will Arnett, which is actually the best Batman voice out there right now, which is like the sarcastic Batman voice. Michael Cera, Rosario Dawson, Ralph Fiennes, Zach Galifianakis, which is an awesome Joker, actually.
Pretty awesome.
Jenny Slate. Conan O'Brien's in it also. A bunch of random shit. Voice acting. Mm-hmm. But I really like this movie. I had a lot of fun with it. It's just like a lot. I don't know. It showed a different part. It showed a different side of Batman. A more lighthearted side of Batman that I really enjoyed to watch. And it was fun. It was a kid's movie, obviously. I took my kid to it. But I really liked this movie. I had loads of fun watching it. What did you think of the movie?
Jesus is an amazing movie.
Yeah.
This is my favorite comedy of the year. It might be my favorite comedy of the whole year because I doubt anything will make me laugh as much as this movie. Just because I can't think of anything in last year.
Joker crying that he's not his arch nemesis or whatever.
Right.
He can't say
I hate you. And you know that every piece of casting also matters so much to the story. Like Zach Galifianakis is also known for being a sad clown in Baskets, the FX show.
Yeah, that's true.
Or the FX extra, whatever. And so the fact that he's Joker means something. The fact that Ralph Fiennes, who's Pennyworth, or was Alfred, I mean, means something. The fact that they cast Jermaine Clement to be Sauron because he's from New Zealand, like the Lord of the Rings people are. Like, they had a lot of shit to go behind every sense of casting. Every joke, the Let's Get Nuts mix. If you've seen any other Batman thing ever, like Ralph, you and I grew up on this shit. It's so much more pleasurable.
What I love is that they did a right thing, and this is where Luke differs completely from us. Where I think he wouldn't have it in his top five, is that it's Lego movie, right? It's a Lego movie, but with Batman, right? But it's still that same Batman from the Lego movie, right? But it has nothing to do with the Lego movie. Because it doesn't need to have anything to do with the Lego movie.
Right.
It's its own thing. It's in its own world. It's in its own everything. Like, it's just the same type of movie. Like, the same character that was in the other movie. That's all it is. There's nothing different.
Right.
And that's
he's still a master builder.
It's still a master builder, right? He's still technically, right? Because he even says it, I'll call myself a master builder or whatever. But, and it just lives in its own world. Like, it lives, and then that's what's great about it. I really enjoyed it. And they make fun of, like, all the times his parents died, or where he just died. And
that's the only movie, a Batman movie, that doesn't reference a flashback to the
that
death
is the
of
only
the parents,
movie, right?
Which I think is the
they
best.
They call it Murder Alley, Crime Alley,
Crime Alley. That's all they got out of sight,
right?
To make a joke out of it.
It was
funny.
It was great, and I love that they even go back to all the generations of the Batmans,
right?
That was so fun. It's also
very self aware all the time. They say pew 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 every time you shoot. There's too many jokes because you can't keep up with the jokes, which is it could be a flaw for some people, but I definitely don't see it as a flaw at all because next time you watch, you'll catch that joke instead of the other one. And also, I dare say this maybe, but it might be the best Batman movie ever made. I probably would say though. I mean, Dark Knight is the only other contender in my opinion in the original 80s.
Okay.
Those three. I mean, this one's highly up there. It just treated Batman so much better. Like the questions that we're asking as throwaway jokes, almost. Like, he's been helping us, you know, fight crime, but crime has never been bigger than before, and he never captures any of the villains that he's fighting all the time. And you know, like all these things that make sense that everyone should be asking after one movie of Batman, let alone 50. I think those things are great. No one asks those questions because this movie is asking the right things.
Exactly.
It was great.
That is good.
And my number four movie is going to be Wonder Woman, which I was really surprised that I actually was able to see it, considering the day it came out, I was already set to go on my long trip. However, due to a unforeseen delay by 2 days in Anchorage, I pretty much had time to go see this movie. And I was really surprised. It feels like DC is finally listening to us, and they're finally changing up their movies, and they're making them better, considering, you know, the horrible mess that, you know, Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman was. So, regardless, Wonder Woman, pretty much we've already been introduced to her back in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. However, this is going to take place way before any of that, considering this takes place during World War I. We're pretty much introduced to Wonder Woman as she is growing up and beginning her training into becoming an Amazon warrior. And, you know, it hints in the beginning that there's more to her than, you know, everyone else or any other female on the island. And so, obviously, she's meant for big things. Obviously, then we have this disruption where a World War I pilot crashes and he finds their secret island. And she is forced to, well, not forced, but she helps him out and, you know, finds out what's going on in the outside world. So she thinks that this General Erlich Ludendorff is basically being possessed by Ares, the god of war. And because of him, that's why we have the war. And she believes that if she is to kill him, she will stop the war. And her, basically, they get to Paris. She joins the, I don't know, the good guys. I don't know what they were called at that time. But, and she tries to get close to Ludendorff so she can kill him. However, a lot of things happen. There's a reveal turning out that he is not really possessed by Ares, the god of war. There's a twist in there. Kind of something I saw coming. But it's alright. It was still fun. And I do think that, you know, overall, great movie. Check it out. A lot of women are loving this movie, too. And, you know, they can finally see why men love superhero movies. And last but not least, you know, DC, you're getting there. You're doing what you're supposed to. Just because a movie takes place in some gritty time span doesn't mean it has to be all dark and gritty. You could have some humor in there. You could have a little bit lighthearted. And, you know, I feel that, you know, they're going to start knocking them out pretty much just as well as, well, I'm hoping they start knocking out these movies just as well as Marvel has been for the past couple years. And DC is finally there catching up. So, yeah, Wonder Woman, my number four for my top five of half of 2017.
Ralph, I know your number three is different than mine.
It has to be.
It has to be.
If it isn't,
it is.
We have to re-edit it, okay? Because mine is John Wick 2.
Oh, okay. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, cool.
That's not even on my list.
All right, mine is John Wick Chapter 2. All right, cool. Awesome. This movie's directed by Chad Stahelski. Keanu Reeves, starring Keanu Reeves, Ricardo Scamarcio, Ian McShane, which is awesome, Ruby Rose, Common, because, yeah, that's a thing.
Common's great, though.
Lance Reddick, Lawrence Fishburne, yeah, a bunch of other people. I really liked this movie. It was fun. It was action-y. They explore the thing. I love the ending of this movie. That's a great ending for me. Like, kind of expects you what's gonna happen. A lot of cool fight scenes, a lot of cool stuff that he does. It's a man that has to live by a code. Like, I love it. You delve more deeper into the world is what I wanted from the first John Wick. And you come into this one, and I love how the beginning, how it starts off, where he's just, like, finishing the last remnants of what he had to do from part one. It was great. I really enjoyed this movie.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it was great action scenes, all the choreographs, everything was cool, man.
Yeah, that was cool.
I mean, that's what really gets me. And the fact that, you know, you see these makings of videos, and you see Keanu Reeves actually training at a gun range, or like,
yeah, he works hard. Yeah,
he works. He's a hard working man. Yeah. Like, and he fucking,
being an action star is you can't be a slouch. You have to be really active.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, it's cool, but he doesn't phone it in. And a lot of those stunts are done by him, you know.
True.
So he does a great job, and you can tell, like, he just knows how to use a weapon, and it looks and it just adds a little flavor to the camera.
Nice. Cool. My number three is not John Wick.
Thank God.
It is a movie where everybody references Colossal, made in my number three.
Oh, look at you.
Which I realize now, as number three was coming up, like, oh, I probably shouldn't have talked about it in what we've been watching, but you can just reference that now. But I won't say too much because I literally just said those things like 10 minutes ago. But Colossal, Nacho Vigalondo, it's an indie film, just came out for release on rental and or buying. I recommend it. I recommend it as a blind buy, but if you're not sure, rent it for sure. Oh. It is nearly a 2-hour movie, and it is very interesting. Once the plot begins, after about 10-15 minutes, once you realize what she's doing, once she realizes what her part is in this crazy monster attack in Seoul, South Korea, which I know, like, what? It makes perfect sense, and the ending is so satisfying to the villainy that's at work here, based on a man who is just very insecure and very jealous of her, the main character, Anne Hathaway's ability to have grown up in this shitty town and escaped to New York for a long time before coming back. Like, that very nature. Like, it's amazing. And some of those scenes are really weird and hurtful. Very weird and hurtful. But they totally make sense. I recommend Colossal. It's my number three film of the year so far. Cool. Ruff, your number two.
All right, and for my number three pick, what would it be? It can't be a Luke top five or top ten if it doesn't have a documentary in it. So my third pick is Oklahoma City. It pretty much talks about Timothy McVeigh and the Oklahoma City bombing, as well as everything that happened before that. It goes and it talks about the Ruby Ridge standoff. It talks about Waco, and it also talks about how these things impacted Timothy McVeigh into pulling off the Oklahoma City bombing. It kind of feels like they took notes from the O.J. Simpson documentary, because that one had pretty much the same thing. It talked about what was the atmosphere in America, especially within the black population, because of all the struggles that they had, and especially things to do with the police. So I think Oklahoma City borrows from that, because it shows outside factors that, you know, made Timothy McVeigh who he was. And it also goes into great detail talking about, you know, his plans and everything that he had to do in order to pull this off. I mean, we all know what the Oklahoma City bombing was, so not much to get into that, but, you know, it's definitely a great documentary. I highly recommend it, and you could pretty much watch it on Netflix right now, because that's how I found it. I was just scrolling through Netflix, and there it was. So my number three pick for 2017's, half of 2017 top five.
Ruff, number two.
My number two, I'm going to have to cheat also and kind of not say anything about this, because we're about to talk about it, and it's Baby Driver.
Oh, right, right.
So okay. That's our main review for this podcast.
Nice. Oh, my God, number two.
So
number
I'll
two.
Just give you guys a quick thing. Directed by Edgar Wright, starring Ansel Elgort, John Bernthal, John Hamm. I just fucking clicked on a button.
Kevin Spacey.
Isa Gonzalez, Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
Who played the girl? Is that Isa Gonzalez?
Lily James.
Lily James, sorry.
Yeah. Fun movie. I love the action. I love the dialogue. Some of the stuff. There's some stuff that we'll talk about. We'll get more into it. But it was a fun ride for me, man. I was smiling a lot of the times. I love the music choice, and that's kind of what makes the movie for me. Good music in a movie fits great, and staying true to characters is another big thing. And I think the movie does it in spades. So that's Baby Driver.
Spaces.
Yeah, okay, I didn't want to say it like that, but
well,
yeah.
I did.
Sure,
that's what I'm here for. Your number two is Baby Driver. Nice, nice pick. I almost put it on here. Let's put it that way. My number two is Get Out, which I'm sure is going to maybe pop for you later. But Get Out is a movie that came out, I believe, in February of this year. And it's a movie that we reviewed already, but it's not out yet because it was a bonus episode. I think it'll be out in a month or 2 months from now. I forget. It might be this year's. Maybe this month's bonus.
No, I think it's next month's.
Next month's probably. Yeah, you're right. Let me read the description here. It's time for a young African-American to meet with his white girlfriend's parents for a weekend in their secluded estate in the woods. But before long, the friendly and polite ambience will give way to a nightmare. And that is a pretty apt description, I think, and is written and directed by Jordan Peele, his first film, the guy from, you know, Key and Peele fame. And it stars Daniel Kaluuya, Allison Williams, Bradley Whitford, who is, he's so cast amazingly. This movie is might be his best cast movie besides Cabin in the Woods, which I feel like both of these movies use him so well. It also stars Catherine Keener, Caleb Landry Jones, of course, Marcus Anderson and Betty Gabriel, and Lake Keith Stanfield. Sorry, he's making a big movie this year too. It's going to be pretty heavy on him and his career, so we hope that works out. Yeah, this movie is a perfect blend of social commentary and horror. And the great thing about those two things is that a lot of movies are like this. A lot of John Carpenter movies have been like this. Not all of them, of course, but some of them. The great thing about blending these two, especially when it works out so well, is that it marries both the horror and the social commentary, political, you know, what's good, what's PC, what's not PC, what's the way to take this, you know, or just plainly don't be fucking racist. It blends them so well that sometimes the social political stuff is the horrifying stuff. Right. You know, when he's talking to people and he's like, oh, Jesus, they're talking about Obama again. Like, you're like trying to, stop doing it. Like, it's worse than seeing a man dying.
Right.
All right. And then, but at the same time, when you see this clearly somewhat brainwashed black man who's like helping them, like he's like the one of the
gardener
or something, he's running straight at him, and he does that weird turn before he would hit him, supposedly. Like, he has moments like these, and it expounds into this great, you know, when they explain everything, the ending, which is amazing, and I think very well earned, and then the very ending, which has, like, this another moment of horror when a police car shows up at the time when you think it's the worst time for a police to show up. It's so good. I won't spoil it because I'm not spoiling anything, but it's my number two, and we did review it. It will be out as a bonus episode before you know it, I promise. That's my number two. Get out.
All right. And for my number two pick, I'm going to go with Logan, which is pretty much the end of Wolverine or Logan. This movie takes place well into the future where we don't have that many more mutants. We know we pretty much just have, I think, just Logan, Professor Charles Xavier, and I forget what the third one is. I think it's Caliban. Yeah. Anyway, this is pretty much the story of how Logan comes across X-23, who is a girl who has mutant powers that are based off of him. She has the healing factor. She has the claws that he has, and, you know, he is tasked with getting her to this rendezvous point for her and these other kids that were given mutant powers by experimentation. Obviously, they are also being hunted at the same time because the company that wanted to do this to them wants them back because they obviously cannot be out in the wild. It's a really great movie. It has a, you know, tear-jerking ending, especially if, you know, you don't know what happens, but it is literally the end of Logan and Wolverine, so, you know, that should be hint enough. This movie was didn't feel like more of a comic book movie, but it felt more of like a really serious, not really serious, but a dramatic interpretation and a more serious movie than we've been seeing recently. And you can also see things like Wolverine no longer has his, well, he has his, you know, ability to heal, but it's obviously slowing down because of his age. I mean, he's probably well over a couple hundred years old at this point, so I'm not really sure. But, you know, it's literally coming for his time to end, and the movie really kind of drives that home. And as much as, you know, we would love to have a happy ending, this movie does not give you that. But it's still a hopeful ending for, you know, the other people in the movie, which is the children. So yeah, you can have a dark and gritty movie as long as you do it right. I'm looking at you, DC. But you're getting there. All right, so that is Logan, and that is my number two pick for half of 2017.
I cheated on my number one.
Oh, okay.
But I had to because there's no other way I saw this, and that's Your Name.
Oh, okay.
I had to cheat. So it's technically a 2016 film, right?
No, we call it as 2017.
But we called it as 2017. We never got to see it in the States.
Put it this way, it's my number one, too.
Oh, perfect. So I'm going to just quickly read off whoever. It's directed by Makoto Shinkai.
Makoto Shinkai, yeah.
Yeah, and okay, I'm going to just go ahead and read these. A bunch of people... We saw it. I saw this in English.
Oh yeah,
you
I saw
it in Japanese, right?
Yeah, I did.
So different voice actors. I don't want to get into the voice actors because I don't
want to. Do you want me to read the description?
Read the description. Sure. Go ahead.
Two strangers find themselves linked in a bizarre way. When a connection forms, will distance be the only thing to keep them apart? That is the shorter one because the long ones are long.
Yeah, it's a movie that mixes genres halfway through or a little bit towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, man. There's a lot of stuff going on in this movie, and it all works for me. I had laughing moments. I normally don't laugh really loud in theaters, even if it's a comedy movie. Usually, if the crowd is in it, I'll laugh out loud. But sometimes this wasn't even some moments where you don't have to laugh out loud. This isn't a comedy movie at all. But it had a comedic moment.
The wholesome glees is what they feel like.
Exactly.
Because they're like so innocent and
cute. Right. But I had to laugh because I almost felt like I was watching this at home and I was just really relaxed.
Yeah.
Super great movie. I really enjoyed the hell out of this movie. I can see why it's broken records in Japan. I don't know. What do you want to talk about this movie?
I mean, it's the most popular, right? The most money made anime probably since Spirited Away.
I want to say
And before that, Akira, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Right. So I'm going to say that it's well-earned in its blockbuster heftiness in the worldwide stage. This movie is very delicate, very wholesome. It's also very spiritual. And the magic between the Freaky Friday-ishness of these two teenagers swapping bodies across county lines, essentially.
See, I never use the Freaky Friday term because I never seen the movie.
But you don't have to see the movie tonight.
Sure, but I just always forget.
I mean, it's good that you don't want to use references of things you haven't seen. That's good.
Yeah.
I hate when people do that, but that's just my problem.
Yeah.
But Freaky Friday, yeah. They swap bodies, but it isn't a comedic thing. It's a bond that is that makes sense, and it leads to something, unlike Freaky Friday.
Right. There's this weird science fiction but magical event.
Right.
And it mixes it really well together, but this very traditional thing. Yeah. A lot of stuff going
and
on.
And it gender bends because the comedy comes from the fact that this boy does not know when to cross his legs as being a girl because that's a big thing for a girl.
Yeah.
And a girl doesn't know not to spend all the money because the kid has to work and she doesn't have to work, and at least at this time in period.
Exactly.
Like, it's just funny how they both have these problems.
Right.
Or funny problems. And they do marry each other at the end. There's another great twist involving, a science fiction concept that I won't spoil here that opens the third act to a really big wow moment. And it involves a meteor, too, and it's amazing. And there's this great, like, almost like a heist thing to involve people to get out. To get out of something. It's so cool.
Right. And yeah, I love how real it is also, like, realistic in its sense of, like, there is no, especially at the very end, it's not just like, and they lived happily ever after. Nothing like that.
Right.
It actually earns it. They give you this quick, you think the movie's over, but no, you still get another, like, 10 minutes of this movie, and you're like, what is going on? And this is crazy. Like, this weird other ending that you didn't expect. And you're like, oh, that feels really real. That feels really realistic. Like, something, like, we're in this world. Like, those rules still apply. Like, they didn't just because it's an animated movie, they decided that we can do whatever the fuck they want. They did.
Right.
And it just felt like they stuck really true to their, to the world. And it worked out for them. It panned out.
Yep, I totally agree. Anything else you want to say on Your Name?
Nah, it's a great movie, man. Sad that a lot of people haven't seen it. I know a lot of people don't watch anime movies. They immediately think it's a kid movie. But, man, it's I think you should. I think you should watch it. You went to go see Lego Batman movie probably, right? Despicable Me 3? Finding Dory. Don't lie to yourselves.
Finding Dory.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go see this. Cars 3? You probably saw that.
All right, and my number one pick should be no surprise because I obviously loved the living shit out of this movie. It is Your Name, the 2016 Japanese animated movie that we finally got in 2017 for the first time in all its English dubbed glory, which I for once did not mind because the dub was so good. I can't even hate the dub. I think I've seen this movie about 6 times now, maybe 7, and it's just that good. It's pretty much a romantic comedy movie, but it's got this really crazy time shift where, you know, your two main characters, Mitsuha and Taki, end up switching bodies. And even though, you know, Mitsuha lives in a rural country town in Japan, Taki lives in, I believe, Tokyo. So they are two totally different spectrums, and they kind of have to, you know, once in a while live in someone else's shoes. And then they kind of give each other notes on what they had to do or what they did on the day, you know, through their phones. I guess they don't really discover that they are 3 years apart. So anyway, you get to this one point where Taki wakes up one day and, you know, he's had this horrible date with this girl that Mitsuha has been kind of setting him up with when she's in his body. Anyway, so he tries to call her, but then he sees that, you know, he can't get a hold of her. So then he decides to go and visit her hometown. However, as he's trying to do that, he's having very fading memories of all the times he's been in her body, although some of the scenery is very familiar to him. It turns out that 3 years ago, her hometown was destroyed because of a piece of a comet broke off and directly hit her hometown. So he's pretty much struggling to find out how he can communicate to her and tell her what's going to happen in her future to prevent her death and the death of her entire town. And then you also have it from her side. The day before the comet strikes, she ends up going to Tokyo to see Taki, and she sees him on the train, but he doesn't know who she is because in his timeline, in her timeline, he doesn't know who she is until 3 years after the fact. So she leaves like this piece of braid that he wears on his wrist that she made when they they're looming this thing for a shrine that is for like the god of time or something like that. Anyways, so, you know, once Taki learns all the stuff that happens, he ends up going to this shrine and he drinks this thing that Mitsuha had kind of made, and he's able to go back into Mitsuha's body one last time. And at that point, he pretty much fesses up to Mitsuha's grandma, and it turns out that this is actually a very common thing that runs in their like bloodline. So when he tells her what's going to happen, she believes him that there's a comet that's going to strike, and, you know, they need to do something about it. Sorry, I mean, he doesn't get the grandma to do it, but he gets Mitsuha's two childhood friends. Anyway, like I said, this is my number one movie, and I definitely see this movie still being on my top 10 list for the end of the year because it is that good. I love the story. I love the visuals. I love the style of the drawing style that is very common with the director and some of his other movies. Makoto Shinkai. So yeah, he's done some really other really good movies. So yeah, ever since, you know, I heard about this movie, I've been wanting to see it, even though at first I had no idea who the director was, and I just heard that this was just an amazing animated movie that I think it broke records in Japan. I think it was like their fourth highest grossing movie of all time, and yeah. So I'm still stalking the Funimation website every couple of days to see when it's going to get finally released on Blu-ray in the United States, or hell, I might even import it from Japan when they decide to release it there. So, yeah, definitely my number one, Your Name. You definitely need to check this one out.
I want to start. I'm going to mention some of the episodes you can refer back to, listeners.
Yeah,
I mean, not you, Rob, that you can hear the full reviews of those. I'm going to go backwards in time. So, most recent down. Episode number 22, which is an April episode, we have Your Name on there. That's when we reviewed that one. I'm trying to look for the other ones. Oh, no, we didn't do that one, did we? Logan was reviewed on episode 18, so you can refer to that one there. John Wick Chapter 2 was episode number 17. And after that, it was just mainly in the what we've been mentioning and or
bonus.
The bonus episodes, right, which will come out, obviously, at a later time. Now, do you have any movies that are honorable mentions for you?
Sure, for sure. Get Out is definitely an honorable mention for me.
Nice.
Beauty and the Beast, honorable mention for me, man.
Nice.
Fate of the Furious.
Me too.
You know,
me
okay,
too.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, me too.
Split.
Split.
I'm really surprised it did not make yours.
So, here's the reason. I almost cheated. My number five was almost It Comes at Night and Split.
How do you get that,
Because It Comes at Night is such a... We talked about this, and I'm not going to spoil it here, but it's such a great movie up until the ending, and Split is like it's a good movie until the very awesome ending. So I figured these movies kind of marry each other.
That's
cheap as fuck. So I didn't do it. And honestly, those two movies may creep up on my number 10 later on.
Yeah, okay. And T2 Trainspotting.
Me too. T2 Trainspotting is another of my honorable mentions. The Girl with All the Gifts was a fine movie.
Totally forgot about that, yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's all good. The Last City of Z, I really loved.
Didn't see it.
I know, you haven't seen
it. I'll have to watch it when it comes out on VOD.
Slight, which is another bonus episode about a kid street magician who gets into too deep with drug dealers. The French movie Raw was basically my number six. Really? I really wanted to put it in here, but Logan beat it out for at the end there. Baby Driver was another one. Wonder Woman was another one. Not as much, though. Wonder Woman is definitely last place. Alien Covenant, I think, was a pretty good sequel to a very weirdly controversial, you know, Prometheus.
Sure.
And you know, it's another thing about this year so far is that maybe this will come back more later. I mean, at the end of the year, when we see the whole year as a finished product. Good year for sequels, for blockbuster sequels, like Wonder Woman. I mean, I know it's not a sequel, but it's a franchise-driven movie.
Sure.
The best of its kind, obviously. The best of that kind of series. Lego Batman, but we agree is better than Lego movie, and even though that movie is pretty good, too. Alien Covenant, like I said, it answered a lot of great things, and I love the way it's going. Fate of the Furious, still knocking it out of the park for us. You know, T2 was surprisingly good sequel out of nowhere. Like, all these Logan, of course, the best Wolverine movie now. You know, like, all these movies are succeeding in ways. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 also was really good.
Yeah, I'm...
Really good for sequels on blockbusters.
Yeah.
You were saying?
Overall, though, yeah, I agree.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we shall review Edgar Wright's Roth's number two film of the year so far, Baby Driver. Stay with us.
At 8:30 start in the AM.
Questions.
I got a question, Doc.
Why would I believe phones over here heard a goddamn word you said? You lay down your whole play. He ain't even listening.
Baby?
The target is an armored truck at Perimeter Trust in Dunwoody, 10 a.m. sharp. We have the details of the route because someone at the depot has a nasal problem. The bank itself is right near the Buford Highway, so we should be able to hit the ramp within 60 seconds of getting out. We also have a diversion crew. They're going to blow up a bread truck a ways away, keep the fuzz busy. The dress code is the Michael Myers Halloween mask, but don't all buy your mask at the same time. It looks suspicious. The switch car is ready, but you want me to hit the long stay parking structure at Hartsfield Jackson to get a heist vehicle that stays colder longer? Boost a commuter car, a family car, something that blends in well with morning traffic. Something on the heavy side, in case we need to ram the cops off the road. Escalade, Yukon, Avalanche, whatever. It needs to be ready for an 8:30 start in the AM. Questions?
Well, ain't y'all cute?
That's my baby.
After being coerced into working for a crime boss, a young getaway driver finds himself taking part in a heist doomed to fail. That is the short version, because the other one is long as fuck. This is Baby Driver, directed by Edgar Wright and written by him. Starring Ansel Elgort, John Bernthal, John Hamm, Isa Gonzalez, Lily James, Mika Howard, he's a barista, Kevin Spacey, which he's like waved down the donut pole. Anyways, Baby Driver, this is my number two. movie of the year so far.
Yeah.
Of 2017. What do you think of the movie?
I totally loved it. I don't want to say I love it. Okay, well, it's funny because this is the fifth Edgar Wright film, I believe, and I've always held his films in really high regard. Like, it's really hard, based on his history, for him to have ever disappointed me, and he never has, even today. Baby Driver, I saw it, I think when it came out, the day it came out, was inventive and surprising in different ways than I would have expected based on the trailers, as it always is the case with Edgar Wright films. Didn't hold my biggest surprise of his, because, like, I didn't know, for example, they were aliens in The World's End at all. So that was a big surprise for me.
Right.
Things like that. There were obviously other ones. And films like Scott Pilgrim and Hot Fuzz, you know, a lot of people, Shaun of the Dead is their number one. I would say Shaun of the Dead, not that I have to rank them. It worked out really well, but it was more of a comedy action than it was a comedy horror for me. But all that aside, I think the guy works super well within the action comedy genre. Like, that, all his films have that in common, even if you add a few other subgenres to those titles. And I think this is just pure action. Even not as much comedy. It's definitely more of a traditional arc, and it kind of I don't know if it pokes fun, but it kind of relates to a lot of other serious movies. Like, you go back to a lot of movies that, you know, where the hero is working for the bad guy, like Drive or whatever. You know, there's tons of movies like that. Otherwise, and some of them are they start off as bad guys and they end up being good guys. But the stunt work is amazing. Loved almost all of the dialogue scenes in the movie. I do think that there's a switch that happens with one of the characters that I was super into, and then another one that I wasn't as into. And we'll talk about that in spoilers when we get to it.
I think I know which one.
Yeah. And otherwise, yeah, it was really fun. Like I said, I don't know what I expected, but whatever came out of the movie theater for me was about as much as my hopes could have been. So,
cool. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect from this movie besides hopefully good action and good dialogue. And I got great action and great dialogue. So that's great on my end. I really didn't know how, like, what was going to happen or what was craziness. I saw Jamie Foxx is in this movie. I forgot to mention him.
Yep.
Like, there's so many, like, the big name actors in this movie, a lot of talent going on. And it's hard to share a scene with our main actor, right? Who's Baby, right?
Yeah.
And that's his name in the movie. His name is Baby, which is really cool. And I really enjoyed this, like, how they went in about this whole story about how he became who he is. They touch base on it throughout the whole movie. They never have to, you know, they do mention it, like, once. They never really have to repeat themselves,
yeah.
Which is really cool. Because every time they are about to repeat themselves, someone explains it angrily for you, which I think is really cool in the movie. Because, like, somebody tells him, like, what's wrong with him? He's like, man, don't you know he has tinnitus? Like, how do you not know from this character? And it's pretty funny. But, yeah, it's interesting where it goes. Yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the movie. Everything. I do have some problems with the movie, which we'll get into. But yeah, it was a really fun ride. Go figure. Pun on words. But and I really, like I said, I really enjoyed the music that went with everything, and our heroes, I guess, arc.
Yeah. Did you like the music that they played a lot? They played a lot of music in this movie. Obviously, the main hero is listening to a lot of music.
Sure.
So, like, he has to, I guess.
Yeah. I think everything fit what they were doing, and it fit also the character, because that's what Baby was doing. Baby was listening to music that fit the scene of what he was doing. So he would listen to music, you know, hey, this I'm listening to something that's gonna get me in the zone, right?
Right.
And it was those.
I think except for like two songs, two songs I recognized. The rest I didn't recognize.
Right. Exactly. That's what was cool about it. Also, is that it was good music for me, anyways, and music that fit well. And it was all, like, you know, not low key artists, but
it kind of reminded me of a Star Lord's thing. You know, how he's obviously playing a lot of the music that his mother loved because his mother died when he was very young, similar to Baby's Life.
Right, well, movie. Very similar, but at the same time, it looks like he avoids his mother's songs. This is a different story.
No, I think he listen to it in the beginning, in the first arc, but just didn't hear it.
Maybe, yeah,
I think
could
he
be true.
Chose it like at a critical moment, like before his last job.
Is yeah,
it's another one of those movies where there's like a final job thing, and you know it's gonna go fucking
right, exactly
up Schitt's Creek, you know,
right.
And it does, of course. So that's not a big spoiler to say that because it's so obvious. And that's also Edgar Wright playing with a very similar formula because you know the way he mimics in Hot Fuzz, he mimics what's that fucking surfer movie with Rob Banks. With Keanu Reeves. Oh, my God. Everyone's yelling at their screen right now.
Point Break?
Point Break, yes. You know, it mimics a lot of the Point Break and Bad Boys 2 formulas, which is like
sure.
Every other action movie. But it mimics it and then it makes fun of it and then it does it, but actually earns the doing of that. I think this movie is much more subtle in its mimicking of the genre that he's playing in. But,
yeah.
I think he's much more subtle about it. He's not outwardly about it. No one's self-aware about it. They do quotes, active quotes on movies and shit. Like, I think there's a scene with John Hamm and him gonna get chummy over a Queen song that I think was used in several movies before, too.
Right.
So, yeah, I just think it's really cool.
Right.
It's much more subtle. So this movie will never be as self-aware as his other movies have been.
Sure.
But I think that for this kind of attempt to do it in such a way where it's more straightforward, I think he succeeds.
You want to get into spoilers?
I want to, yeah. Let's get into them now.
Okay.
All right. So what did you think of the way it played out to John Hamm's, I forgot his name in the movie. Yeah, they all have code names anyway.
Yeah, they all have
code names. John Hamm's change throughout the movie. Like in the beginning, you know, he's just another guy, right? He's just another guy, bank robber dude with a girlfriend.
Sure.
And they're team up brothers or team up people, partnered
they're
up.
They're a duo, yeah.
And then the second, like they're starting to get chummy. They actually relate to each other. He used to be a driver, he says, and all this stuff. And especially over Jamie Foxx's much more aggressive attitude.
Yeah.
Way more aggressive. And then leads to the third act where he's the main villain, essentially. What do you think of all that change?
That second jump after chumminess to whatever.
To villainy?
That's a big jump. Not a big jump. I just felt it didn't. Maybe there was a transition that I missed that should just. That there could have been. I don't know. Something about it just didn't feel. Didn't feel too right, and I guess that is a problem for me in the movie.
Yeah,
I get like the rage from it, right? And I get, but at the same time, like I don't know, it's like it's weird, but it's almost like it's weird, but you almost forgive it because they're criminals, and in the end, like they like who cares?
Here's it goes with my problems with the movie. I believed it enough, but I also could not believe that this guy who is. Arguably a professional at being a criminal, but being a criminal professionally also means you did a lot of stupid mistakes in your life by nature. I think that movie taps into this without saying too much about that kind of thing. But obviously these criminals' lives are all based on shitty decisions, even if they're the best at it.
That diner scene explains a lot, actually.
Yeah, it does. Which one?
The diner scene
when they all go together?
All to go together.
All four, right?
All four, yeah.
Oh, yeah, before the heist?
Before the heist, yeah.
Good. Leo is here, the prof's kid. No, you can't play with my microphone. Like, literally, the one thing you cannot play with. you can play with my phone. Yes, this is a great, great mind tracking here.
Yeah, okay. Well, like that. Well, what you just said is that scene that I was telling you about the diner scene, where they're all four of them are in it. For me, that explains a lot. Like that kind of taps into that whole like mentality thing of our what their past.
Oh, when they
were.
Talk about John Hamm's like
exactly.
Slight past, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it. So, but besides that, even if you believe that they're professional at everything and he has lasted this long for good reason, it was stupid of him. I could not believe that he would take the job after seeing all the telltale signs of not taking the job. Furthermore, I was more surprised that Kevin Spacey accepted a baby to be the driver for this job after, you know, they plundered his house and took his tapes. And they basically, I mean, even if you get a hint of betrayal, you shouldn't do the next job. I mean, you don't have to kill him maybe, but you know. You know, I felt like those decisions came fast.
Okay, I do agree with you 100% there, but do you forgive it for what Kevin Spacey does towards the end?
Is that the change you didn't agree on?
No, actually, I agree on that change.
Yeah, I agree on that change. Okay,
so good. What I'm saying, because that change felt fine, and it kind of felt like it, because he kind of hints towards it in the beginning.
I think that one-liner he says...
that's my baby?
No. Well, no, that's cool. But yeah. No, when he says, like, I was in love once.
Yeah.
Like, that line, I think, said it all. And for the most part, even though...
Oh, when he pays for the food,
Baby has been playing him back, and he's been using him as many times as he can to drive forever.
Yeah. The guy still pays him. The guy still...
Right.
In the end, takes almost care of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not black and white, though, but it is enough.
No, it's not. Yeah, it is enough, though.
Barely.
I agree, yeah.
So.
No, that transition works out compared to John Hamm. John Hamm is the one that doesn't work out for me.
Well, because then the second she dies, it obviously makes sense where he's going to go.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that these criminals could be as hardcore as they want, but they all love someone. They all want love, just like every other Joe Schmo out there.
Right.
And there's just as much suckers for it when it's about jealousy, when it's about them leaving them, or when it's about getting love, or when it's about keeping it. And I think they're all the same, which is why I think Kevin Spacey's turn succeeded for me, and why Jamie Foxx died so unceremoniously, and his whole attitude towards life was so bad, because he's the one guy who always rejected that idea and was living like literally day to day.
Right.
And that's what happened to him. He got killed. Right. By the way, when you saw those beams at the stop,
I immediately thought, yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, cool. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be an accident, though. I didn't think he was going to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
So that was a nice surprise.
Did you think he was going to tell... Yeah. So the whole movie does tell you that Baby's actually a good person who's just stuck in a bad situation.
Right.
Right?
And he's only good at driving. Were you surprised about that?
No, I'm not. Actually, because, okay. I mean, he...
Did you want him to be successful at gunplay?
No, I didn't, because he was never that guy. He's like, I boosted cars, and I never got past that. Like, because he doesn't get past it, and then that's when he boosts the wrong car, and that's when he has to work for him, basically.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, because he's like, he's a kid. Why am I going to give him a gun? He doesn't need to use a gun, you know? And he just does driving the whole time, and he never has to use a gun. He's like, I have people who use it for me. I do the other part. You do this part, you know? Which is interesting. Yeah.
I agree.
What did you think of the beginning when he's waiting for the robbery and he's just jamming out to the music?
Yeah, I like how like in an explosive weird moment, especially for the intro.
Yeah.
Like Baby was shown to be actually a very charismatic guy who clearly has no chance to show his charisma to anyone because he's such a loner type, or he's working with criminals who don't give a shit.
Right.
So, like, he'll just explode and start, like, the opening sequence, really, when he's getting coffee, and there's, like, a one-shot track.
Exactly.
Following him around. He's just, like, dancing to everyone. I mean, he's so energetic and so enigmatic. You think he'd have a 500 friends.
Right.
You know, that's how he portrays. And then when he's doing the job, I don't think he's serious because it's a serious job. I think he's serious because everyone around him will, like, kill him. They're all killers. And
it's
a terrible idea. He doesn't want to be there.
Right, exactly.
You know, it bums him out.
Right. And I love that... That hard focus when they zoom in into his glasses when they're doing the meeting, and he's obviously just not paying attention, but he is. He's really intently.
He's reading the lips, I think.
He is. Yeah. But he's really intently paying attention because you see him squinting, like if you notice.
Yeah.
He's like squinting hard, like, okay, I caught that.
After he proved himself in front of John Bernthal, like, did he understand anything? You know, and then the next meeting after that, I was looking for that. The eyeball thing.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. He proves himself to Jamie Foxx.
I thought it was John Bernthal.
No, he proves to Jamie Foxx. And Jamie Foxx, that's when he doesn't like him. Right from the get-go, he doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Just because he's so different from everybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody else is supposed to be a stone cold killer, robber, you know? And he even has this mantra, you know, or this thing that he does to himself that he's like, that's our money. We're going to go get our money. They have our money. They stole our money, you know, like to motivate himself to go do the heinous crimes that he's going to go do.
Yeah.
He does have some sense of, you know, shred of what's it called, of humanity. It's just very, very small. He can convince himself easily to not do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those very system type of villains or criminal people where they've only seen other criminals so much that anyone that isn't a criminal is automatically not worth it or they should be exterminated.
Well, versus them. Versus them, maybe.
Right.
They have everything.
Very sad.
He doesn't.
Yeah, very sad. Also, what did you think of when he does the second job with Jamie Foxx and those two other characters that don't come back? Because every crew is different, even if it's slightly different.
Right. He never mixes the exact same
they
crew.
They killed the Asian guy. Right, right.
Because he messed up and he left the shotgun behind.
He left the shotgun, which I theoretically has his fingerprints probably, or it doesn't matter, it could be traced.
Anything. Yeah, right. Anything.
And what did you think, like, what would you think is the point of that, besides to show Baby something that I think he knew already?
I just, they're showing you something that he's like, I'm glad I'm getting out. It's like okay. He's like, because it almost felt like that's his last job, right? That he does.
Yeah, that was the last.
That's his last job before he.
That's why he's so happy.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He gets back in, and he's like, I'm glad. They're showing this heinous thing where he's like, this is a shitty part of my job that I had to do, that I had to deal with, right? And I'm glad I'm finally out of it. Like, mm-hmm. And I think it was more of that thing, and also to show like that. Obviously, Jamie Foxx's character is not a character they should be fucked with,
right?
Because he's got a short fuse kind of person.
Oh, so he looked like he shot him.
Yeah,
killed him for Kevin Spacey.
Right, exactly. Or more like killed him, and then it gave him the explanation without asking.
Maybe, yeah, maybe
without like asking Kevin Spacey for the
probably
thing.
Give him an excuse. He'll just take it.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably true. So what do you think? Here's another one that's a small problem for me, and I don't know if it's should be a bigger problem or a lesser problem. Is were you surprised that baby got in love so fast with the waitress? What's her name again? Debbie?
Deborah. Yeah. No, I wasn't. It wasn't surprising because he. It was
because all this happens in a week, basically.
Right. It wasn't surprising that he fell. It's just that he clicked with somebody, and he just doesn't have a time. Doesn't ever get a chance in his life to click with anybody.
No, I believe in his end. What about Deborah's end?
On Deborah's end, I just think she was booed by somebody. And you know, she's like, this is a guy who's obviously very sure. He acted like a guy who's very sure of himself, but very mysterious, very James Dean-like, actually. Mm. And they kind of play on that with his, like...
I feel like, to quote a recent movie, Slight, which the review hasn't come out yet. It comes out in 2-3 months. But Slight has a same problem slash maybe not so problem where the main guy couples with someone and they kind of fall in love really fast.
Really fast,
and her history is based on trauma, as what we said. We alluded to the possibility of why she's leaning onto
this
him so
girl
fast.
Also really acts very, I would say... more 70s type of woman.
Well, those dialogue scenes are also very old style.
Sure, they are very old style.
Like, she just falls in love.
But at the same time, like the way she acts, the way she's like, and I guess they're doing it for that reason. But at the same time, she feels like kind of ditzy a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So getting like wooed by somebody or whatever, getting like, you know, is immediately for her.
What did you think of the fake out? Because he sees a girl dancing, not saying it, singing. On the street and goes into the diner, and we think that's going to be the love interest, and it's not her. It's the actual waitress that comes for him.
Yeah.
At waitress table, I mean. So it wasn't her the whole time at all. And
right.
That's what we see of her, right, I think.
No, was it? I thought it was her. I thought it was the same girl.
No, it was a different girl, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
Pretty sure. Her name was Stephanie or something?
No, maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was the same girl.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
No, because he's like, what song were you singing?
No, she was singing another song when she came to the table.
Oh,
but I think
gotcha.
The girl, like, he wasn't following her because apparently he goes to a diner a lot.
He goes to the, exactly.
But he saw her on the street getting the coffee.
Yeah.
And then kind of, like, looked after her. So when he found her on the street again singing,
yeah,
she had different hair, like, different color hair and everything.
Frizzy. No, I'm pretty sure it was still blonde, yeah.
Frizzy hair.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Right.
Same girl.
No, I don't think it was
I'm
the same
pretty
girl.
Sure it was.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Okay.
Well, back to I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah. Whatever.
It's all good.
What did you think of the ending?
The very James Dean part ending, yeah. Like, I just the way he dressed with the white shirt and the jeans and the boot cut with the jeans and the way he came out, like, I almost felt like he was going to pop open a cigarette and start smoking right in front of them and then be like, hey, like, or whatever. With the hairstyle and the old school car and her being all old school. What's it called? Yeah, like... He dreamed that they left and then they came out, right?
Or he
came out to prison.
Right. And then, so you like that ending?
I mean, I thought it was, when did you have the time to come up with this? Like, how did you know he was going to like that? Or, like, where'd you get the car? It was more of.
Right. Well, I mean, it makes me think, I'm talking about the way he gets there, like,
Like the cop.
He gets arrested.
I didn't hate it.
I feel like there was a strange beats in there, how it got there. Because before I knew it, like, oh, she ran away with him.
Yeah.
You know, after he killed John Hamm, or John Hamm got killed. It was strange. He killed him. So they're running away, and it's like, it's the same car. And then, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, it's kind of unbelievable. I hope they don't get away, but also it feels weird that we're here.
No, it felt believable. Like, it felt like they trapped them immediately. It was a two-way road, you know? Like, there's no way there was going to be... Like, it made sense. They trapped him on a bridge.
Did you feel like a hail of bullets scenario was going to come and play?
No, he's not the type of guy. I thought he was going to give up immediately.
Well, she was driving.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Not her, not him.
Yeah. I mean, if he was driving...
He probably had a concussion.
Right. If he was... Well, he still had the tinnitus thing going on also. True. Where he just got shot in the ears, even worse. The tinnitus was probably even worse.
Yeah, was that John Hamm or Jamie Foxx who did that tinnitus?
That was John Hamm.
Okay.
Yeah, John Hamm shot both because he knew.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't hate it. I thought also cool. It was cool that the movie also just kind of like towards the end how it went.
Yeah.
Where the whole like trial and everything kind of just went really quick, blurred through because he was never listening to anything. His tinnitus was just like, I'm just here, dude. Like, I know I did wrong, and everybody was trying to help him. Like, but in the end, he did do bad things. You know, like he was gonna go to jail even for a long period.
Like, apparently, he just went to jail for a lot of the accessory, maybe, and or robbing cars, because all the witnesses and even the victims of his own making were like speaking nice about him. He gave me back my purse.
I'm actually surprised that they didn't show the Marine that came after them,
right?
And then did the opposite and were like, no, he's a menace or whatever.
Right? Yeah, I'm surprised that happened. What did you think of that? That weird intro.
I actually kind
of
like that.
Like a civilian.
Did you notice it coming? Because it just they showed it like he could be a threat or he's going to call the cops.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to call the cops.
I thought
right?
he was going to do that too.
Right, and then they don't even bring him up until he rams them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
What
do you think of that? It's a weird thing because you should never see civilians interfere that way.
Well, I thought it made
a
sense.
A little stranger.
Right, I thought it made sense. It made sense for most ex-military, right? Who, you know, he's like, no way you're robbing from me because he's robbing from the bank from that he just deposited his money in.
Right.
Right?
It felt very hella high water where every civilian has a gun on him because they're in Texas.
Right.
Right? And like, some of them
It did feel a little bit like that.
And their cars are chasing them, their civilian cars.
It did feel like that, but it also felt believable. And that's what I like a lot about the movie. It felt all the driving scenes, all those cool like things, all of that felt believable. Like that's what you have to do to a car. He slows down at proper times, like to do these stunts.
Oh yeah,
he's not going like 90, and then it makes a turn, and that would be impossible to make.
But, yeah,
right.
If you guys have seen the movie Drive and realize like, oh, there isn't enough cool driving scenes. There are some cool ones. Don't get me wrong. The Baby Driver does give you a lot more.
It does give you a lot more. And I think
I feel like he is safe when he's in a car.
Right.
Whereas when he's as opposed to
exactly. Well, and what's crazy is that when he goes off road to go to merge to the other one and he goes through the grass.
Yeah.
Right? And it's hard to do that at those speeds. Like, you're going to slide. And that's exactly what happens. He goes through this bump with the other guy, and the guy just doesn't make it because he doesn't know how to drive on that kind of terrain. He doesn't know how to do those kind of things. Right.
But also, we also see babies, you know, flinch a lot of times. Like, he hit the panic of almost dying or fucking up himself.
Yeah.
Does well, make him do mistakes, too.
Exactly. Yeah,
he's still just a kid.
Right.
Man.
In the end, he's not this god machine of, you know, just amazing driver.
Yeah, he's not the guy from Drive.
He's a great driver, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and he's better than every other average driver out there, right?
Yeah.
Average Joe Schmo, that's what makes him really good, right? But at the same time, he is a human. He makes a lot of mistakes. He hits many cars. He, you know, he's not perfect. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's what I like.
I like that too.
Yeah. So it's a big thing for the movie.
John Hamm.
I think he did a good job.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that a good villain for you?
Yeah. I mean, you don't see him as a villain until the end.
I mean, he became almost a supernatural villain when he approached them in the cop car.
Yeah.
I'm a Jesus.
Right, yeah.
And he kills Kevin Spacey three times, running him over from
him. Yeah, right.
Did you like that end for him?
Kevin Spacey's?
Yeah.
I mean, there was going to be an end to him regardless.
I didn't want that kind
of end either, but it was...
Not because I liked him. It just didn't seem like the type, but obviously... But also it's one of those things, like, once you get emotions, you know, then you die, kind of like...
Right, well, they bring that up in the movie. That's like a tagline for the movie.
Right.
Once you fall in love or once you...
Once you have emotions, you just think you catch a bullet.
Yeah.
Or in this case, a car.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, but, like, it was... Like, he just became a good guy.
Right.
He didn't get good.
He just redeemed himself.
He's just, exactly. Anything else on?
No, man. Fun action, like I said. Cool dialogue.
Too bad they ruined that great the alley shot and the trailer of him going between the two cars.
Yeah, if you don't show that's a great scene. Just because you're like, wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
it's really cool. It is really cool.
So that's Baby Driver. We both recommend it. It is in theaters right now. It is Edgar Wright's latest film. In my opinion, out of the five he's made so far, I've never been disappointed by the man. He's always made B to A plus movies, in my opinion.
Exactly.
So, as Baby Driver, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start talking about our top five most anticipated films of the year, of the rest of the year. Yeah, stay with us.
Is dead.
Hi there. What if
have you brought today? Tell me.
A contender.
It's main event time.
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
All right, we are back. Let us begin with our final segment, visits.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I totally forgot.
You go first this time.
The top five most anticipated films of 2017. It's a good time for us to do this. I like making this half-year point lists. It's fun. So, we have a few caveats. First of all, before we give out our top five here, we should say that we ranked them not in order of, you know, what we think are going to be the best ones, because we obviously haven't seen any of these movies. We ranked them in order by the most recent to the latest of the year, based on, you know, Box Office Mojo release dates, and some of them could change over time. You know, some of them
do. Usually like November, October, December dates.
And a little caveat for me, I want to say that it's hard to put independent movies, because some of those don't even release this year, as
right,
they think.
That is hard.
So yeah. I didn't put any of those, and some of them will just completely, utterly surprise me as they come up. So they're going to be mainly big movies.
Yeah, mine are, I think I have one independent movie, but I'm pretty sure it's still coming out. It's not super indie. Mm-hmm. It's just more like in the middle.
I hear you. And there is one movie for sure that we put on top of all others, like our number zero, and that is Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Right, exactly.
And if you listen to the show before, you would know that I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy, but I am the biggest Rian Johnson fan, the man who is directing The Last Jedi film. And Rian Johnson, you know, did Brick. What's the other one? Brothers Bloom. The Brothers Bloom. Did episodes of Breaking Bad and did Looper. Mm-hmm. He's a great film director, and he's directing Star Wars, the most anticipated Star Wars I've ever had in my life. So, yeah. So it's our number zero. You don't want to put it on the list because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
So we took that out. I know Roth took others out. I think, do you want to mention those, the ones you took out that you didn't want to consider?
I took out anything superhero-related.
Superhero-related.
So, like, I just didn't, like, for example, no Thor for me, no
Thor,
Justice
Ragnarok,
League.
Right.
You know, things of that nature. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, without further ado, I'm going to start with my number five. My number five film, most anticipated film, is coming out way soon. Actually, comes out in 2-3 weeks, maybe less than 3 weeks.
It's the same fucking movie we have.
I swear to God, is it? No, you don't even like these movies. Is War for the Planet of the Apes?
Oh, okay, it's not.
Cool. Yeah.
I do like the movies.
Oh, I thought you didn't like them as much.
I mean, everyone loves these movies, or either you
Everyone is surprised by these movies. Everyone be thinking like they're gonna shit the bed on this one, and they watch it and they're like, "Nope."
Right. That's, well, that's the thing. And then everyone goes in. It's amazing. It's actually a great marketing thing for them, or whatever, because they go in with the lowest expectations.
I don't know how
it becomes great.
This is the third movie they're doing. They keep fooling everybody.
Right.
I don't know how they do it.
Go figure. I mean, good on them though. For me, I like them regardless. Like,
yeah. So, I think the last one outdid the first one, and this one, from what I hear from early reviews, outdoes the last one, Ralph. I hear it's amazing, and it stars, what's his name from?
James Franco comes back.
No, no. Fucking Christ. Obviously Andy Serkis, but Woody Harrelson plays the main bad guy human, I think, or something. So War for the Planet of the Apes, I know very little about it except for the one trailer I saw, and I'm excited. I think Matt Reeves was also directing. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
What's your number five, Ruff?
I'm a big spy person, and my number five comes out on July 28th. Hmm. It is Atomic Blonde.
Nice. That's I won't mention it for me.
Yeah. So this movie looks...
awesome.
Looks just fun. It looks fun, action-packed, with Charlie's...
Charlie Stern.
Right?
Yeah.
I just can't wait for it. I don't know what to say. I've seen one trailer that just... They basically just action everywhere and sex, which is... I'm fucking down for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I just hope the story doesn't suck.
Right. I really hope it doesn't. It doesn't look like it does. I think Charlize Theron makes good movies, or is in good movies and everywhere.
Right.
So I'm hoping good stuff.
She might be the first, and I might be wrong on this. So if tell me if I'm wrong, or listeners, please email us if we're wrong. If I'm wrong, she might be the first woman of her age doing these kind of action work.
Yeah, she's pretty old.
She's like not Liam Neeson old, but she is. She is
for
like
the type of work, yeah.
Yeah, I like this is like her Taken, you know. I hope it really works out as well as Taken does. I really want it to work out.
Me too.
That's your number five, Atomic Blonde.
Yep.
My number four is a movie that's also coming out pretty soon, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh man, honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. The only reason I want to see it is the guy from that director, The Professional, Lafayette Nikita.
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna lie. That's almost why it's in my list.
The Fifth Element. Obviously, his best movies are sadly only in the 90s. And he did other movies, you know, that are not bad. Like Lucy was not bad. It was a really awesome attempt, but it did fail. Other movies, I can't think of it right now. I'm sure there are others. And I really want him to have a hit now. I would like for him to have a resurgence, and that's Luc Besson, who directed and wrote it.
Correct.
And he is a wacky guy the guy who did Fifth Element. Jesus, we should watch it, all of us. So that's the only reason I need. And the trailer doesn't look as great as it will be, but it looks definitely as expansive as ever. Okay. So I want to see what he does. That's my number four, coming out also in July, I think. So, Ralph, what's your number four? Yes.
My number four is the director of Casino Royale.
Campbell?
Yeah, Martin Campbell.
Thank you.
Who is doing a movie that is the only reason I want to watch it. It's called The Foreigner. It's with Jackie Chan.
I just saw a trailer for it the other day.
So it's Jackie Chan's Taken.
Yeah.
I'm down for it. I've been wanting to see a Jackie Chan movie for the longest time, a good Jackie Chan movie, because he's been doing just like kid movies more mainly.
Yeah.
And I get it. The guy works his ass off doing his own stunts, and
totally.
He's an older guy also. But man,
did he get an honorary Oscar?
He did get an honorary Oscar for his stuff. So it also stars Pierce Brosnan. Go figure. And Jackie Chan. So I'm excited. Oh, in this movie. Sorry.
Remington Steele himself. Huh?
Yeah. This movie comes out October 13th. So
right on.
I'm looking forward to that one for sure.
Cool. It's an honorable mention for me, too. My number three is a movie that only people like me and others that have read the books will like. It's the Dark Tower film, which comes out in August, sometime in August. And it stars Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey as as Walter, the evil sorcerer priest-looking guy. You seen the trailer for this Dark Tower? Looks crazy, right?
It looks crazy, but it looks saddening, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
It looks like I'm setting up myself for failure in this movie.
Well, the thing is that I'm very curious about you watching it, because you have not read the books, and I'm in book five right now, and I swear to God, Rob, these books keep getting larger.
Yeah.
And based on the trailer, they're in places that are clearly in book four or five. Like, I don't know where they're starting, I don't know what they're doing, but the plot says it jumps time. It's technically a Western, but it's also very magically based, and there's wizardry going on, and weird drugs, but it's also time-based things where, like, he lives in a way distant future from our point, but he's also time-traveling to New York in the 80s and the 60s and the 90s.
Sure.
And is it our 90s, though? It could be a different 90s or 80s. I mean, it's crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff.
Stephen King wrote a very expansive, crazy gender bending.
I'll give it a listen one of these days.
Yeah, you should.
My wife has like 600 Audible credits I can steal from her.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
Not that many, but she's got like 7.
Okay, cool.
So,
yeah, the novels are like, I'm not even halfway. That's how long the series is.
Right.
So, I'm reading book 5 right now, and I can't wait. And the way that I can already tell big changes in this movie that are from the books, as there has to be. There's just too much information. But I'm very curious how I was going to be. I'm positive it's going to be more likely disappointing. I just want it to be satisfying in its own way. That's all I want. And I'm curious to what you think, not knowing the books.
Yeah. So, okay.
The Dark Tower, very curious.
What's it coming out?
Pick. And sometime in August. I didn't write the dates down.
Because you're a bitch.
Yeah, I forgot, honestly.
It's all good.
So, you're number three.
My number three is a weird one, but it's a give. Okay, I'm going to give you the cast, then I'm going to tell you the director. And then I hope it's your number three also.
Okay.
Or your number two, so to say. It's Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer. Okay?
Oh, I know the movie. I heard about it. I didn't.
Directed by Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, what's the name of this movie?
Mother. Sorry, it's an exclamation point at the end.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And lowercase m for mother.
Okay.
Yeah, like... you want me to just give you the quick...
I didn't know he was making a movie. It would have made my list.
You want me to give you a quick thing?
Would have made my list. I'll tell you that right now.
Centers on a couple whose relationship is tested when uninvited guests arrive at their home, disrupting their tranquil existence.
Last movie he directed was Noah, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, I love Darren Aronofsky. So, I mean, I'm excited for this movie. It's supposed to come out same time as The Foreigner, so good luck. Box office.
I guess we know what movies are reviewing.
Right, exactly. Mm. So, yep.
If I knew about it, I would have put it.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I
I clicked on it because I was on Box Office Mojo, right?
Yeah.
And I clicked on it, and I was like, what's this about? And I go, why isn't that letter capitalized, right? That's exactly why I clicked on it, right? And I was like, I was like, Aronofsky, why does that sound from? I'm like, oh, yeah.
The Fighter.
Right? And I was like, Requiem. Oh, yeah. And I was like, okay. And then I clicked on it, and I was
the
like,
wrestler, not the fighter.
Have you heard about them? I was like, what the fuck? Michelle Pfeiffer? What's going on in this movie? And, yeah. And then I read the thing. I was like, that looks like it would be interesting.
So, yeah. I'm interested, too.
Exactly.
I didn't know about it. I didn't see the trailer or anything. I knew nothing.
I haven't seen shit, but I read that description.
Yeah, that's the thing about these top five is that they're so arbitrary.
Right, well, I saw the director. I saw the cast. I read the description. The description's very vague, but at the same time, I mean...
Like, I fully understand that the my top five most likely of these most anticipated movies, I'm positive none of them will make the top 10. Just, yeah. It's just most likely.
More than likely mine, too. Maybe this one might. We never know.
You never know about that. Yeah. That's a safer bet than mine's are, I'll tell you that right now.
For sure.
So, because my number two has nothing to do with that. Okay. It's Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, you're excited for that one.
I am excited because of the...
It's honorable mention.
The filmmaker for me is Denis Villeneuve.
Right, I get it.
Has only made one very disappointing film for me, but the rest have knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. And that goes with... It's Blade Runner, man. I get it. It's a sequel, right?
Well, I'm not the biggest Blade Runner man. I don't really like that movie.
I really like
so much.
The movie.
It's hard for me to watch it without sleeping through it.
No, I really like the movie. I will give you that also.
Yeah.
I can't be sleepy watching that movie. I'll fall asleep. Yeah. There are some just like a little bit lower, slower parts for me that I just will. I mean, I'll do that for even my favorite movies.
Not to say it's a good movie.
Not knocking the movie
but
at all.
It's not my top.
Exactly. But for me, it is a really good movie. I really enjoy it.
No,
it's one of those movies that I watched on my own. I never was pressured to watch it.
Oh, really?
And... I saw one cut, and then I ended up watching... I saw the theatrical
like
cut or something.
Yeah.
Or no, I saw the director's cut. Then I saw the actual final cut.
Yeah.
And then I just watched the final cut from that one, so...
That's the one you prefer?
Yeah. What's the one? It's like the true cut, I guess they call it, or something.
Well, okay, sure. I mean, I don't know. I know less, so, yeah. I don't.
There's like five cuts for this one.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah,
so... I'm not the biggest Blade Runner guy, so I think that this movie could never disappoint me because I don't have the weight of the original
movie
on my shoulders. And I'm
sure that
Denis Villeneuve can, I mean, with his success of Arrival so well, I think he can pull it off.
Yeah, and I hope so.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, that movie showed that he can do well with a big thing, with a big budget like this, because he did it so well with Arrival and with all the nominations, too. And obviously, Sicario, Ravi, and I love that movie. So the guy can do no wrong, in my opinion. Hopefully, it knocks it out of the park. So your number two, Buff?
My number two is actually I'm really just looking forward to this the plot of the movie. It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It's directed by Joe Wright, who did Atonement, Pride and Prejudice.
Oh shit! Yeah, has a movie coming out? I didn't know this.
Yeah, the movie's called Darkest Hour, and it's within the days of becoming Prime Minister, Winston Churchill must face his most turbulent and defining moments.
Vague title.
Defining trial, exploring a negotiated peace treaty with Nazi Germany, or standing firm to fight with ideals, liberal, and freedom of a nation. Basically, it looks like it's a movie revolving Winston Churchill. And
who plays him?
According to this, Gary Oldman. It's starring
Joe
also.
Joe Wright needs a hit.
And also starring Lily James, who just played in, what's it called?
Baby Driver,
yeah. Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, he's great and everything.
As King George.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You'll be good.
Stephen Delane.
Delane. I think.
Kristen Scott Thomas.
Oh, nice. A
bunch of other British people.
I like Kristen Scott Thomas.
Yeah. We can get into it, but...
No, I didn't know that. That's another one that probably made my top five.
Yeah.
It's because Joe Wright, I think that he made Hannah and Atonement. I mean,
Hannah's a great movie.
Hannah's a great movie. Yeah. I watched that once a year for sure.
Atonement I saw once and I fell asleep through some of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That movie also, for me, one of the best.
It was one of those movies where I think I was... Like, just put it on or something.
That movie is like when I first saw it.
You might have recommended it to me, and I started watching it at night or something.
When I first saw it, I saw it on the women theaters. I think somebody took me to that movie.
Oh, wow.
And Atonement was, I felt like, oh my God, another fucking period British movie. Oh, man, man. And it started off that way, and it was so.
Yeah.
I was anticipating the worst thing ever, and it's so much more creative than that. It was amazing. I fell in love with it. And, you know, he did a terrible rendition of Peter Pan, which failed, bombed everything, and I think that was his last movie, and before that he did a movie that no one really saw either, but what I think was pretty good, which was that the adaptation of the Russian novel. I forgot the name of it off the top of my head, and I think he needs a hit, and I hope Joe Wright pulls it off in this one.
Yeah,
so yeah, excited. That's your number two, right? My number one is a movie that won't be on your list because of the reasons you said that you don't want to put superhero type movies on here, and
Thor.
Put one, and it's Thor Ragnarok, mainly because of what's his name? Waititi? Right?
I can't think of his name, but yeah.
I think Waititi is part of his name, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, I think this is also kind of an experimental pick because I want Thor Ragnarok to be the one good Thor movie. Taika Waititi, by the way.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, Taika Waititi made the probably my favorite, give or take, mockumentary film, What We Do in the Shadows, in 2014. Then he did The Hunt for the Wilder People last year, which was also really funny and really unique in its own way. And Eagle vs. Shark, of course. Sorry. And he's also an actor. He's also a writer. He's also a director. So he does everything. And I think him taking the helm for the Helmsworth for this Marvel property that has kind of failed, because even though the first one had some good qualities and the second one also tried something, you know, good quality-wise, they were kind of blah movies overall. And then none of them landed. None of them stuck to the landing. This is the only series of my favorite superhero. Thor is my favorite superhero that has the worst movies and the most forgettable movies, too. Yeah. Like, even Iron Man, even though Iron Man 2 and 3, which I don't like very much, had the first, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But pretty great. And but Thor didn't have that either. Like, I felt like that movie needed more.
Thor 2 is forgettable for me, man. Thor,
I remember anything but except cars.
All I remember from Thor 1 is the end scene.
Yeah, I don't remember shit.
It
was just there. Whatever. And I like what Kenneth Branagh was trying to do.
Sure.
Make a Shakespearean story with the family of this royal, you know, Thor Odin people. But it was a nice idea, but it didn't go anywhere. Not enough of it for me. So, but Thor Ragnarok looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
It looks like fun in a good way, like an injection of like creativity mixed with some sort of energy that I needed always. And I think maybe Waititi might be the guy who does it. And I hope they gave him enough free reign, Marvel Studios, I mean, to enough free reign. Obviously, they don't give him all free reign.
Yeah.
To make this movie awesome. And I really hope it lives up to those trailers, too. So, yeah, Thor Ragnarok, I'm holding a lot of shoulders to that movie. So, what's your number one, Ralph?
It's a biopic. Hopefully it comes out. It's in post-production right now.
Oh, okay.
It's expected end of November, November 22nd.
Okay.
Directed by Aaron Sorkin.
Directed?
Directed.
Hmm.
And it's also a written adaptation by Aaron Sorkin.
I would hope so.
And Molly Bloom, if you know who Molly Bloom is.
No.
Nope, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know that. That's fine. I don't know who Molly Bloom is. But the movie's called Molly's Game.
Okay.
And Molly Bloom, a young skier and former Olympic hopeful, becomes a successful entrepreneur and the target of an FBI investigation when she establishes a high-stakes international poker game.
Shit.
It kind of reminds me, and this is what I kind of excited for, and also the cast is pretty interesting, but it's Aaron Sorkin, because Aaron Sorkin can just get away with picking whoever the fuck he wants, right?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, Bosch, right? Bosch's wife or ex-wife, what her job is.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
Deep cut there for a series.
Right, exactly. Jessica Chastain starring as Molly Bloom. Idris Elba, Kevin Costner, Michael Cera.
Michael Cera.
Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah.
Joe Keery, Rachel Skarsten. Yep, a bunch of other people. So, yep, those are the stars.
Very nice.
Interesting. I'm interested in it. Comes out late November. Hopefully it comes out. I'm totally down for watching a movie with Aaron Sorkin. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I didn't know anything about this. I think I saw a title running around somewhere, but I didn't know. I didn't research it.
Right.
Right.
All right, and for my top five anticipated movies of 2017, in, I guess, a semi-particular order, I'm going to start off with my number five being Thor Ragnarok. As you know, I love these Marvel movies and the whole Marvel universe. Thor 2 was kind of, it was good. It wasn't that great, though. And I feel Thor 3, or Thor Ragnarok, is kind of, it knows that the second movie wasn't that great, so they're going to try to ramp it up and make this one be much better. So yeah, I'm really excited for it. Next on the list for number 4 is going to be Justice League. As much as I really loved Wonder Woman, I hope that, you know, what made Wonder Woman great, or, you know, well, yeah, pretty much what made Wonder Woman great will be transitioning into the Justice League movie. I don't know much about it. I just, you know, somehow I have this dumb hope for DC and their movies. Number 3 is going to be Blade Runner 2049, I believe. And mainly, I just want to see this movie because it'll probably give me a chance to watch the original Blade Runner, which I still have not seen to this day. And I know Oscar's probably like thinking of choking and killing me in 100 different ways, because how could I not have seen this movie? But yeah, Blade Runner 2049. My number 2 pick is going to be Kingsman 2, the Golden crown, I believe, mainly because the first movie was so amazing, and it just kind of came out of nowhere for me, and it was such a fun movie, and I am hoping that Kingsman 2 continues that, so. And last but not least, or my number one for 2017 anticipated movie is Star Wars The Last Jedi, because obviously I have to see this movie when it comes out. I so far love the trailers that they put out for this. I'm really excited to see where they're going to continue the story, and I just want to know what happened to Luke Skywalker and what's going to happen, you know, what happened in the past and what's going to actually take place in the movie. So that's one movie I hope I do not miss this winter time. So yeah, that is my top 5 most anticipated: Thor Ragnarok, Justice League, Blade Runner 2049, Kingsman 2, and Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Right, so my bad there. But that's our top 5. Sure. Most anticipated films, as arbitrary as that list could be. Any honorable mentions, Buff?
I mean, like Thor, obviously, and all
Thor,
that shit.
Right,
you know.
Yeah. Dunkirk?
Yeah, Dunkirk's in there, but you know what? I saw a trailer and just I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great. I honestly think it's going to be great, but just that trailer makes it look very gloomful and not excited
for it. Another World War II thing.
Exactly.
It's so annoying.
And that's another problem with the movie. Yeah, it. I'm excited for it.
That's on my list, too. Girls Trip. I want to see that.
I'm not.
I don't want to see it so bad. Atomic Blonde for me. The Hitman's Bodyguard. Could be fun. With Ryan Reynolds.
I don't know which one that is. Oh, that's right. I saw a trailer for that.
And Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, that looks like it could be good, yeah. Kingsman, Golden Circle.
Me too, it's on there. Detroit. Have you seen that trailer for that?
Yeah, I did. You know what?
I don't see that.
At the same time, that's interesting.
Okay, at the same time, but no.
That's Riot, yeah.
The Foreigner. Suburbicon.
Don't know what the fuck that is.
It's a George Clooney written and directed film.
Ooh,
so,
kind of interested.
Not all his movies land for me, but they landed well, the ones that do.
Right.
And I can't forget the name of the movies. But what was the second movie he made?
The American?
No, he was... He acted that one.
Oh, that's right. He did act that one.
He didn't write
Michael Clayton?
No, that was Dan Gilroy. I could look it up, but I don't have my phone on me. So.
Up in the Air?
Nope, that was somebody else.
See, I'm just...
He's just naming movies he's acted in.
Out of Sight? What am I asking?
Out of Sight was Steven Soderbergh movie.
Steven Soderbergh, but yeah. I'm just thinking about movies he's in now.
You're naming his best movies, but also, you know, I'm gonna look it up because we're talking about it too much now. George. Not Crow. Yeah, I want to see if you can think of one. It's not Gravity. He didn't direct that one either.
He didn't direct that one.
I'm just saying. Director, here. Right. One of my favorite movies he ever made. Of course, he made it. It's Good Night and Good Luck.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much. And The Ides of March, I didn't love as much, but I thought it was really cool. Monuments Men did suck balls, and that was the last movie. So I hope this one is a resurgence, a better version of that. So, and from what I could tell, it's just a thriller. So I didn't know too much about it.
Thriller.
Another one is Murder on the Orient Express. You interested
okay,
in
yeah, you know, I don't know.
I think it's a Kenneth Branagh movie, though.
So. It is a Kenneth Branagh movie.
So that could be great or really bad.
Yeah.
Because he's old-fashioned.
Yeah.
But
it is an adaptation of an old-fashioned movie.
Yeah, but also it can't be just the adaptation. It has to be something.
I mean, it has to outdo, what's that movie that came out with
outdo
the train?
Years of Thrillers.
Right.
I mean, he has to outdo formulas, man.
Right, yeah, I mean.
I'm sorry, but he kind of has to.
Yeah.
That's why Sixth Sense will never work today and shit, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So I'm curious and I'm excited. And
sure.
I love that book anyway, so. Justice League is on there, but Justice League just to make fun of. I'm hoping.
I'm not looking forward to that movie at all.
I know, but I kind of want to see.
I heard it was coming out this year, and I was like, no way it's that fast.
I know. Joss Whedon is took the helm, though, to direct it.
Really?
You didn't know what happened?
No.
I mean, not too.
Did he get fired?
No. You wish, but that's a terrible reason, actually. Zack Snyder's, I think, kid died or something like that, and he had to stop making the movie, and they brought in Joss Whedon to finish it.
And Marvel let them do that?
Well, Joss Whedon is his own agent. He stopped doing Marvel movies. You know that, right?
But he stopped being the head guy for Marvel.
Yeah, he stopped doing it. I think they maybe created differences too, but I don't remember why. But he stopped doing it. But he hasn't directed one of those since Avengers 2. Right?
Yeah.
Just mean he hasn't been part of that game, I mean, since then.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
And plus, it's not like he's going to put Thor in Justice League or something.
Sure, yeah.
So, but he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. No, I know he can.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that's what happened.
I didn't know that's what happened. Yeah. That sucks for Zack Snyder.
I might be wrong about the kid, but I think it's a close family. I think
something,
it was a kid.
Something really close, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a terrible situation, too.
Hey.
But he's obviously taking time off, which he obviously we all understand.
Right.
So, I mean, good luck with him on that. I don't mean anything bad by it. But yeah, he did take over, and it's still coming out this year.
Win-win
so
scenario
for that
guy.
I'm curious to see what kind of thing that is. I just want to see.
Win-win scenario for that guy, still. Joss Whedon, I'm sorry to say, that movie bombs, they're going to be like, ah, he came in last minute. He couldn't do much, right?
And if it's a great,
and if it's a great movie, Joss
like,
Whedon.
Whedon saved the day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he can't.
Zack Snyder gets nothing out of that one, I'll tell you
no,
that right now.
No, he does not.
Yep.
He still made my favorite superhero movie of all time, though.
Who, Zack Snyder?
Yeah. I mean, Watchmen, dude.
I mean, it's a good movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. I love that movie so much. How did he pull that off and not the... it doesn't matter.
Rorschach's Journal.
I think it's because all those characters were gloomy and Superman's not supposed to be.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
You know there's a Watchmen series coming out?
Ooh, that I'm interested in.
And it's going to be a cable type show, so hopefully.
Ooh,
I think so.
If it's Showtime, I'm going to shoot myself because it's the one fucking
That's the one thing we don't have.
The one thing we don't have. I mean, HBO? Fuck it.
I mean, there we have Twin Peaks. I almost got it for Twin Peaks itself. I almost got it. And Homeland's worth it, too. Homeland's great still.
Yeah, I guess.
I know nobody watches it, but it's still amazing.
Somebody has to watch it.
I do.
Right.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Now we're reverting to talking about TV shows, so that's it for our top five.
So most anticipated TV
Most anticipated films of the year, for the rest of the year, I should say.
Yeah.
Let us end this show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Let's talk a little bit about our bonus episode, which we haven't talked about too much so lately. We usually have those interluded cap things we do, but now the new month is coming in July. Guess what's our bonus episode of? Another big movie about a teenager with some sort of
web slinging ability.
Exactly. Can you think of the Arachnid Boy? I think is the name of the movie. Arachnid Boy. Jesus, where did it come from?
The Boy Spider.
Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Oh.
Yes.
So which I'm seeing tomorrow.
You want to see? Are we seeing that together?
I'm seeing a late showing anytime after 9. I have to pick up
somebody
from the airport at 9. So
cool.
I
we should definitely watch it.
I won't be ready until like at least 10.
I might bring one of my coworkers, but I want to watch
awesome.
Like a
friend, so.
Cool. There you go. So we're gonna watch and review Spider-Man: Homecoming for our bonus episode. Check out how to donate to our show, which is the only way you can get that episode early, or you can wait 5 months down the road. And that is at otherpodcast.com. Remember
guys,
to check that out.
Go to your friend's phone and be like, you don't amp it up yet? Why haven't you amped it up?
It's just
yep, they're going to be like, the fucking energy drink that Mountain Dew makes? But like, no, that's crazy talk. That's bad for your health.
Anything, another movie podcast.
Right.
Amp.
Right, exactly.
See?
You need to amp it up. Download it on their phone.
Yep.
Right? Is that it?
Yeah.
Download it on their phone. Make them listen to it. You driving in the car? Hey, driver gets picking whatever they get to fucking put on for...
That's true. That's a rule. That's a golden rule.
It's
I think
golden
that's a
rule.
Law. It might be a law.
It almost is a law.
Yeah.
Unless if it's a big road trip.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, sure.
Then you gotta switch that.
Then
off.
You have to switch that shit.
Yeah, kind of fuck that shit. Remember, we are a bi-weekly show that makes no fucking sense when we talk about
not
the
a damn thing.
Remember our marathon update. Let's talk about our marathon. We didn't
do
a marathon this time,
that's right?
And we're not doing a marathon technically the next time either
because it's a weird episode for us. But yeah, because it's
we're
top
not doing
five.
It, well, we're also not doing it next time. Here's the thing: is that Roth, I, and Luke, we're gonna find a way to because Luke is in Alaska, but he also is still choosing some of these animation movies.
Way to give it up. He was in Istanbul a couple just like an hour ago.
He was where?
In Istanbul.
He travels fast. He has a portal. Portal gun. We're watching Rick.
Yeah, we were.
And Morty.
I'll hack that shit.
Yeah. So, he's still over there, but we need to find a way to finish this fucking marathon. We have 3 films left, so we want to do all 3 in one go and release it at some point.
Yes.
And the 3 films that we're waiting on to review here for all of us to watch and review is A Grave of the Fireflies, Whispers of the Heart.
And Paprika.
And Paprika. And
you're welcome for Grave of the Fireflies, by the way.
You're welcome. What do you mean?
That was my choice.
That was my choice.
Grave?
You picked Whispers of the Heart.
No.
Yeah, you did. Check your list, son.
I'm pretty sure I picked Grave. Buff,
you picked Whispers of the Heart.
No, I'm pretty sure I picked... Oh, it's because you took Grave, because we both picked Grave.
Oh, okay.
And then I had to... Okay, that's why.
Well, we both clearly want to see it. Lucas is the only one who doesn't want to see it.
Lucas is the only one who did not want to see Grave, yeah.
That's one thing we can agree
on. Oh, listen, I'm going to get my man card up immediately, and I'll cry. I'm probably...
I'm going to cry.
I'm more likely to cry.
I'm also waiting to...
Right, exactly.
So what we're going to do is
I'm
going to
make sure I watch this at night when everyone's sleeping and just fucking cry it out.
Right, I'm going to cry. Yeah, I'm going to cry like a little bitch.
Skinny and shit.
Yep, Kevin Spacey. Kevin Smith joke, sorry. Kevin's out there. But we're recording that next week, but I don't know when we're going to release it. I think I'm going to release it because it's going to be 2 weeks when I'm taking time off, a little vacation / a little SOS gathering thing we're doing. So I think I'll release it during that time. I don't have to worry about making a show before I have to go.
Makes sense.
So I think we'll record it in advance and release it then. So it'll be late July / early August. I think that's when we release it. It might be a bonus or it might be a show in its entirety, like part of the the oeuvre, and we won't record anything new that week.
Yeah. But once
that's
something
that sucks, that we won't have anything new.
Once we finish that marathon, hey, feel free to email us, Twitter us, Facebook us, whatever you want to do. You want us to do a marathon of something specific you ever wanted.
Tell us what we missed that you think that would have been awesome for the animation
that would
marathon.
Be great,
I want to know
like, hey,
so many titles we went through.
I know some of them are really random, like Perfect Blue is a movie that I barely remember that it came out.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a good movie to watch regardless. But give us throw us something out there for us.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you, Rob. That's a good idea.
You're welcome.
Feedback can be sent to that on podmoviecast@gmail.com. Twitter handle for me is Armin Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ruff?
I am at Gamer Ralph with two R's and an F. Ralph. R-A-L-F. A lot of people think it's Gamer Ralph or Ralph.
Oh, Ralph. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm saying Gamer Ralph. That's why I say Ralph, yeah.
Right. It's funny because that Raphael doesn't have an L there. In the
no, it doesn't.
But Ralph for a short
period. You're right.
Speaking of all that, though, and next time in 2 weeks, July 21st, our show, I think I'm picking the next one because this one, it was picked by itself.
Yeah.
We're doing three new films. One new-ish. It's out on VOD for rental right now. It's called Personal Shopper.
Oh, I think I'd have heard of it, yeah.
It's a ghosty type thriller movie made by Olivia Assayas, who made amazing movies. And it stars Kristen Stewart. I'm excited for that movie. We'll also be reviewing War for the Planet of the Apes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, which I'm excited for. You are too. And I was going to do the whatever other bigger movie. I think Dunkirk comes out this weekend. But instead of Dunkirk, because we were both kind of like blah in World War II movies in general. I picked Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Let's do it. I'm down for
that. Those three movies. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Yeah. I can't wait.
At least Valerian, I think I'll have more amp up. I'm not saying I won't watch Dunkirk. I'll see Dunkirk regardless.
Yeah. But did you hear what happened at the IMAX at the Navy Pier?
No.
They're trying to fix it. Dunkirk may not come out in time. Or they might not have the IMAX fixed in time.
No.
Yeah. There were some problems
IMAX.
Doing some renovation or fixing something.
They've been fixing it for like a couple months now. Yeah,
and they're not going
to
be ready in time.
Yeah, when we went to Navy Pier recently.
Yeah, that's right.
We might have to go all the way to like some other fucking summer.
Where's the real
IMAX? It's like another. It's like a Barrington, I think.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
South Barrington.
Yeah.
And this is all regional.
Not super far, yeah, but
yeah. I hear you. But still far. All right,
look
so
a bitch.
Bitch. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. See you later.
Look, everything in this world is running exactly on schedule. Besides, to leave, we probably have to wait until the movie's over or something.
Well, when is that going to happen?